Hey, welcome to episode 128, live of the Crippled System Podcast. Laser beams.
Pew, pew.
Shooter McGeezy.
Jackass.
All right. Oh, there's somebody who posted, like, my favorite two golfers in the world or something like that. Yeah. And, like, they had a picture of Shooter McGavin next to Tiger Woods.
Just kind of casually hanging out there.
Yeah. All right. My name is Andy.
Nice to meet you, Andy. My name is Brian.
Yeah.
My name is Nathan.
My name is Brian. I'm Catbug. Why would you do that?
Yeah, and that's other Brian, who's not here yet, so we just wanted to start the podcast, get things rolling.
The sooner we start, the sooner we end.
Yep.
Boom.
This is a good episode of Rick and Morty, though.
I'll watch it tonight. I'll watch it tonight. Like I said, I've been watching a lot of Longmire, and I had to keep up with our TV. There's so much TV to keep up with.
I think the B plot is better than the A plot, but I won't go into it.
Well, last week was amazing. The summer must keep summer safe.
Yes, yes, the keep summer safe thing. It's similar because they go, yeah, yeah.
I think my first one I enjoy the most is the whole time stream and then it breaking apart into multiples of
64 time streams at a time.
Yeah, that was it. I really like that episode a lot too.
This whole season has been really, really good.
Yeah. Yes.
Like, not that the first season wasn't really good also, but like Get Swifty was probably the worst episode of the season and that was still a really good episode of television.
I don't know if I could watch it again.
I loved President Keith David. Okay. And I loved the whole thing with sending people away in balloons when they didn't, like, that whole subplot.
The B plot was better than
It was the weakest of the year, but still watchable.
Well, you know, when we had the Jerry daycare, that one, that's still amazing.
Oh, God, yes.
We're the new Rick and Morty podcast.
I wish. Looby dooby doo boo. I would love to get Justin Roiland and Dan Harmon on our podcast.
Yeah, I don't think that's
they seem like good peeps.
Yeah.
They seem okay.
I mean we do know somebody who knows Dan Harmon.
I know a guy who knows a guy. I do.
Yep.
He's friends, but yeah. We're only one step away.
Yeah. Yeah, we're not that far away.
Oh, I think
of course, he also disavows like everything about Wisconsin.
I did unfriend him recently. I think on Facebook finally.
Oh, really?
Dan Harmon or the guy you know that knows Dan Harmon?
I know. He kept posting like, "Don't eat meat," and I'm like, "I'm gonna eat meat."
Yeah,
and you've posted about it too much, so I'm done with you.
Why is there a play button on our screen instead of us?
Why don't see the screen?
What's happening?
Am I not doing this then? Is this not happening?
How do I not see myself from 5 seconds ago?
Actually, it's been current lately. It's not even delayed. It's like live. Ooh. The internet has sped up and it's faster.
My twitching wasn't live. I had like a 45-second delay.
You're just always twitching.
I'm curious to know. Well, that's another thing you should announce too. Hey, should we have announcements?
Announcements.
Yeah, we've been rambling.
Speaking of Twitch and announcements, I'm going to throw an announcement out here. This are the sacrifices I make for our audience. Is I think I might get Fallout 4 on the PS4.
Son of a...
So I can more easily Twitch stream it.
Oh, I'm done. That is literally the worst thing anyone has ever said. That owns a PC. Like, if you were, like, in an island...
But my PC's and you only had shitty. I'm also kind of worried about frame rate and stuff like that. It can run New Vegas, so I'll have to check... Oh,
you use mods.
I know.
Oh, my God, I'm sick.
But how do I Twitch with the PC and still...
So people, you can easily...
Our audience.
It's like, fuck them. Don't ruin an experience like Fallout 4 for some nibbity fucktard who wants you.
People want to see it.
What I kind of was thinking, and I'll let you go in a second here, because you can rant against this whole thing. My whole plan was to get the PS4 version, so I could Twitch stream it and everything, and I'll play through with my normal weird way that I play Fallout games.
Is there multiplayer in that?
I don't think so, no. So I'll play through it vanilla, and then like 6 months or 12 months later, whenever the next Steam sale is, where they have the game with all the DLCs and a bunch of random shit bundled together for a nickel, then I'll buy that for the PC.
And actually play the real game.
And by then, a bunch of good mods will be out.
What I'm gonna do is I'm gonna just be streaming the Uncharted games the entire time. So you're never gonna get a second online.
You're not even gonna play. You're just gonna leave the controller on the desk and go to work.
And if you log in 24/7, watch Brian eventually move Nathan Drake around 5 minutes a day. And he's just sitting. Nathan Drake's just sitting there having tea. Something will happen.
I think maybe we'll have to talk about getting our own channels and then developing our own network.
Because I have streamed a little bit. He's streaming. Of course, he streamed more. I don't want to disparage games you like, but my God, why war? We need to work together and find a game we can all play again. Because we did so well with Borderlands for over a year.
We did well with Destiny for
and
a while,
you,
too.
And you guys,
I didn't have a PS4.
I didn't have a PS4. And I've almost been tempted to pick up the expansion. You didn't really like PlanetSide that much, and I'm not a big Warframe guy. We need to find some game that exists. Someone has to tell us a game that me and Nathan can play. And Diablo, I have on the PC. If you get the PS4,
PC version of that as well.
Oh, I just
we should stream that shit.
I don't know how to stream on the PC.
Well, you only need one person to stream for that.
Yeah. It does take, like, it's instead of it being instant, I guess it's like the initial setup is like a couple minutes, but then once you get that figured out, it's not hard. Yeah. But there is an initial, like, you got to do a thing and a thing and a thing.
Yeah, because I have Diablo 3. Raylene and I have bought Diablo 3 five times now, I think, four times. So, I mean, I own it on the PC for sure.
We waited 5 minutes.
And we got tired of waiting for you.
I appreciate it.
Actually, we waited almost 10.
Well, that's good.
Oh, this is for you. It's a gift.
Ooh. Quick question. Did I give you the axe to the Feral Warlord UA, or did I not?
No axe.
All right, I can't find it.
It's Brian, everybody.
Yeah, I'm here. Ooh.
But yeah, we need to find a game maybe we can all play.
Yeah.
Andy, though. I'm talking about just me and Nathan.
Well, yeah.
Oh, obviously. Why not me?
Diablo.
Why not me?
You broke Borderlands. You're banned from a game.
I didn't break Borderlands.
You broke Borderlands.
Hey, Mr. I got power level into Diablo, too.
Yeah, but the game starts at 70.
That is somewhat true.
And no one, like, you know, didn't, like, manipulate the game. It just
power leveling 70. And duping items, are, I think, are the moral difference.
And
I mean, to be fair, I also preemptively, you might have broken it, but I weakened it by the fact that my PS3 became so unreliable that I couldn't be counted on to play.
Yeah.
Yeah, mine, hey, I feel bad. I mean, they basically broke it for our games. I had somebody, to clarify, I had somebody that showed me how you could duplicate items in Borderlands 2, and also showed us how a cheesy way to go into one of the final parts of the game and then just jump through the system and get items that way.
And the journey's half the fun.
Yeah.
Well, that's all.
Well, actually, no. It wasn't duplicated items that way.
He was duping things.
Yeah.
You might not have been duping, but I think he gave you duped stuff or something. Either way,
I
whatever.
Know Jim logged off and was disgusted. And you took some of the stuff, and Jim was like, I can never play. And so it. The game has been the integrity of the game was destroyed.
So you lost. So Jim was lost because of that, and then I was lost because of my own shitty PlayStation, and so that was half the group gone. And it's not a 2-player game; it's a 4-player game.
And Brian has a PS4 too. We can do some 4-player shenanigans.
I think. What are we playing?
We're trying to figure it out. We can't find a game that works very well.
That's one of the reasons why I'm late. Is Amanda decided at the last minute that she didn't need 2 PlayStation 4s, so she canceled. We had to go to Baraboo to cancel her pre-order for the Taken King, the Destiny PS4.
Yeah.
Because we're just going to get a second TV and then do that. But
it looks pretty, the special PlayStation 4.
Yeah, it was. So we decided to do that, and that's why I'm...
Do all the cool kids still play Evolve?
I don't know.
I haven't seen it.
From what I can tell, maybe the game's dead enough to where we could go in and just revive it.
The game burned bright.
Yeah.
And then it faded out.
Nah. Yeah. Otherwise, like I said, I'm embarrassingly not against the idea of getting the Handsome Edition.
Okay, I'm still...
I should be against that, because I have, like, I played that game for 200 million hours.
We have played more Borderlands 2 than anyone. No one watching us has played as much Borderlands 2 as we've played.
That is true.
I have not played.
Anthony Birch has not played as much Borderlands 2 as we have.
People might have us on other games, but Borderlands 2 is the world that we lived in for a long
fucking time. You guys lost me on Borderlands when you switched to PC.
I never switched pre-sequel. Oh, pre-sequel.
Yeah, pre-sequel. Is when you know what lost me in the pre-sequel was the quality of the pre-sequel.
Yeah.
I was so happy to be able to control my character. Well, now I have a mouse keyboard for my PS4, so I could play whatever. Anything on the PS4. I can play, I can actually play shooters like an adult. You cannot get far. I will swear to God, I will murder you.
That thing is like, you know, I'll buy it and I'll have it for the PS4, and then by the time all the good mods are out, it'll be cheaper and I can get a bundle with all the DLC on a Steam sale.
Hurts so much. You'll be playing it, but you're like half a person for like a year. You're not gonna. You'll be like, I think I'm having fun, but I'm not sure. And then no, you won't be. You'll think it's okay, but it's like
for the first 6 months, all the mods are just now you can see her tits.
The first month is just nude mods of every game ever.
Yeah,
but then there'll be those subtle, like, you know, I don't know.
Super Meat Boy, it was weird.
Yeah, that was a weird mod.
What? There's Fallout 3 Super Meat Boy mod?
No, I was saying Super Meat Boy got nude mods.
Oh, yes. Yeah.
So, Dr. Brian, we need to find a PS4 game we can all play. That's our goal.
I don't know. I never really played Destiny, so that's what they're trying to get me into now. They, as in people that Amanda knows.
It's kind of neat. I'm still playing. Like, before I came here, I played 2 hours of Planetside 2 with Jeremy, and we just killed so many people. It was amazing, but I know that hasn't cooked down with this group, so it's fine, which is fine. I mean, like I said, I can't get sucked into Warframe no matter how much I try. Yeah. Certain games just don't gel with certain people.
We can just play Dragon Age 3 online multiplayer.
Oh my god. I defriended that one guy on Facebook, by the way. He kept talking about Mass Effect 3. I just defriended him.
Oh yeah, that guy who was just yeah.
The guy who was who kept saying positive things about Mass Effect 3, I he's like, walk away, Brian. Like, I just unfriended him. So whoever you are, you like Mass Effect 3, I unfriended you. Yeah. Well, you liked it, you admitted it, and then you kept talking about it, and I was like, either I unfriend him, murder him, or kill myself were really the only options. I had just like that. And in Mass Effect 3, you just pick one of three things.
Jeff just got done, I think, playing it all the way through again.
Probably. Yeah. Well, Jeff is like a weird person who just doesn't leave his room, so that's the kind of thing a person like that would do.
Yeah.
Did I miss announcements already?
No, this is announcements.
Oh, this is announcements?
We are in announcements. We're going to announcements, Zappity Grumble, and we're done.
I'm glad I fit on the crippled system timeline.
I have one just other map announcement. The perfect time. Before your probably useful announcement that you want to make.
We haven't started actual useful announcements
the
yet.
The Woldrath mod that we had discussed ages ago.
Mm-hmm.
I just bought Professor Luss's Woldrath for pennies on the dollar, so he's going to mail it to me, and I'm going forward with Plan Woldrath mod.
So you're going to have me make it?
Well, no, I don't. I might have you pin a few pieces, but I have been conceptualizing things. I have the idea. I'm going to have somebody pro paint it for me.
Yeah, you should have me assemble it.
Yeah, like I'm going to figure out because I might change a few things. I want to look at where the bits are going, but I definitely want you to be the one who physically assembles it so that it stays assembled. But I have ideas.
You got the shrimp and the wold weird?
I don't have the shrimp. That's a good point. I'll look into those. But I have other things. And I don't want to give away too much by talking about it. But the point is, it will be a group thing. You know, I do want to, you know, figure out the pose because I have ideas of what to do. And then I want you to assemble it because when you assemble shit, you can hit it with a brick and it doesn't break. And then
challenge
I need to get somebody to,
right?
And then I'll get somebody to paint it.
Additionally, if we do...
And
if
then
we
I need
the
to look into that clear, the fake water stuff that people use because I need to figure out how to use that stuff.
Resin?
Yeah, it's very easy. But if we do it that way, it's never going to break.
Yeah, if I actually... use a gallon of the fake water stuff. Yeah. Yes.
Well, the cheaper way to do it is to just get 2-part resin that you would put down on a floor or a plaque.
Yeah.
That stuff is, you can get a huge bucket of it for like $12.
Yeah, but what happens to that when you literally pour it into a bucket and let it dry?
You just use a hairdryer to get the air bubbles out and then it's crystal clear.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
I tried a
even having air bubbles in it.
Real mild, you're like,
yeah,
they might look cool. Even having air bubbles in it won't be that bad. In fact,
that might
there
be good.
There has to be
some air bubbles.
Some air bubbles that we could actually pump in, maybe from the bottom.
Yeah,
they actually as it's cooling or drying, we can pop in a couple air bubbles because it has to be a treasure chest.
We need. Well, I was going to get one of the castles. Maybe.
They're very chatty.
Yeah, they are, Chad. They might be talking about PS4 games.
They're
we should check
games.
For PS4 recommendations. The one undead the Crix pirate one that with the sea diving helmet.
That'd be nice.
Need one of those guys.
Well, he's in there. I have extras of him. I know that for
perfect.
Sure.
We'll go for it.
Is that guy talking to me, Brian, or the other Brian? Ha ha! The Brian, suck it.
Brian is Catbug.
Oh,
that's what they're saying. It's because Brian sat down where Catbug was. And then they asked if you brought soft tacos. Did you bring soft tacos?
No, I didn't. I brought Fireball and root beer. That was the one thing I had time for before I left.
And you brought $34 for those things?
I brought $26 because Quick Trip will only let me take $20 out of the bank account, so I'll give you my $26 as a retainer.
All right, fine.
I bought two women and cupcakes I was going to bring for everybody, and then I left them both at home.
Then I ate them all and drank them.
Well, the thing with the cupcakes...
Root beer and Fireball, there's cupcakes, there's potential two women... I am the Sandman.
The thing with the cupcakes and the tubing is I had dinner, and I tracked it all with my calorie tracking thing that always depresses me. And I did it, and it's like, you're done for the day. And I'm like, well, I can't eat a cupcake, so nobody eats a cupcake. And so I just left them at home. Because if I brought them and I didn't get to eat one, I would have been really sad.
Oh.
The thing is, you eat one, and then tomorrow you just go less calories.
Oh, tomorrow you starve yourself
calories a little bit. Calories count for a week, not a day. It's not like a one day if you like balance a week. So you balance by week, not by day.
But yesterday I ate 17 million calories.
Well, then you should probably be here.
Because yesterday I had a 7-course meal with dancing girls.
If you're at the Ren Fair, you can't. You take the calorie counter and you uninstall it for the day.
I want to show you a bold-faced fucking lie, by the way. Speaking of the Ren Fair, sons of bitches.
I like the meat. Do you have the meat and stick? Do you have a stick of meat?
Look, hold on. I'm scrolling. That's a giant skull.
Everyone listening, watch the scroll as it happens.
Fuck you. Okay. You see that sign? What's that sign say?
Deep fried s'mores.
Bold-faced fucking lie. So the Ren Fair opened at 9 a.m. I was at the doors when it opened. The king was all like, come on in. And they blared the horns. They shot the cannon. The doors open. I'm in. I see that. I go, like, that's like 100 yards into the Ren Fair. And I'm like, I'm not hungry right now. I'm about to eat enough food to kill an elephant. I shouldn't eat a deep fried s'more, but I've never had a deep fried s'more, and it's called a deep fried s'more. I fucking want one. So I went up there.
Fair.
Right? Like, yeah, I'm not wrong
here. No, you're. It's fair.
I didn't want one. I shouldn't eat one, but I had to eat one.
Yeah.
So I went up there. I'm like, I want a deep fried s'more. And they're like, they're not ready yet. Which, first of all, fuck you. You knew the place opened at 9. You should have been making them at 8 o'clock. So I'm like, fine. And they're like, okay. So I go. I want around some more. The feast is at 11. I eat. We get out at 1 because it's a two-hour thing. I go back there, and I'm like, I would like a deep-fried s'more. And they go, we're all sold out. Come back in an hour. And we got more coming. So I came back an hour and a half later, and they're like, nah, we got no s'mores. I came back 2 hours later. They're like, yeah, we got no s'mores. So that sign's a fucking lie. They never had s'mores. They're never going to have s'mores. I even talked to a lady in another booth, and I mentioned, like, I was ranting to Raylene about the s'mores. And this lady's like, oh, I didn't even know we had s'mores at the fair. And I'm like, you don't. You have a sign that says s'mores, but you don't fucking have s'mores.
Man, I really want. So which Ren Fair is this that we can avoid?
It's Minnesota. It's actually.
I want a deep fried s'mores so badly right now.
Yeah, I do too.
I've never wanted anything more in my life than that fucking s'more.
Somebody mail us some deep fried s'mores fresh.
Oh wait, no.
God damn it.
That Ren Fair supposedly is like twice the size of the one down by us.
Yeah, it's pretty good. It's pretty big. It's fun. But I have a deep fryer. I'm going to go buy some graham crackers and some marshmallow fluff, and I'm going to just make my own fucking deep fried s'mores.
Yeah, they're probably going to taste better anyways.
Probably.
I have so an actual. So that was an announcement. Fuck
yeah. The announcement is they don't have deep fried s'mores at the Minnesota Ren Fest. Also, hilariously enough, that Ren Fest Festival is on top of a shitload of limestone.
Yeah.
So they have quarried up to like 2 feet away from the Renaissance Festival on all four sides. Like it sits on a pedestal.
Oh, okay.
Because they want that limestone so desperately. And so their lease is up like next year.
Yeah.
And there's no way as fuck their lease is getting renewed because the limestone is worth way more than the rent to a Renaissance Festival. So
hilarious.
They're going to have to move next year. But it is just funny. Like, you park, and then you're walking, and you go down into a quarry, and you walk across a quarry, and then you walk back up to get to the entrance to the castle.
It's rough. Yeah, when I was there last, that wasn't a situation. Like I said, it was 18 years ago because I'm
old. You know what would be a great place for the Renaissance Fair? Alpine Valley.
You know where there's a great... When I was living in Arizona, they had one in like outside of Mesa, Arizona. And I'm telling you, April... Like, it was probably warm there, wasn't it? Well, actually, no, it was a nice weekend.
It was nice. It was like 70-ish. It was pretty
that's
nice.
That's what the Ren Fair in Arizona is like. Because they have it in March, and it's like 70 degrees. It's at the warmest 70. And it's such a nice... Like, you go to the Ren Fair in Bristol half the time, it's like, you know, it's 98 and 100 degrees humidity, 100% humidity. You're like, God damn it. Anyway, announcement. Our first announcement, October 3rd. Is the final Madison six-pack. 50-point event. Bring two lists. There is if you haven't been to a six-pack and you're like, I can't win any major prizes, it doesn't matter. It's going to be a huge event. There's going to be a ton of random prizes. There's still faction coins for everybody. I'm raffling off 3 or 4 prints. I have a, I think it's a Menoth. It's a starter army box, $120-some army box ahead. I am giving that away. I'm probably going to have, now that I've paid for everything for the six pack, I'm going to have probably 300-ish and 400-ish in gift cards. And depends on the turnout, honestly. But I'm going to have a few $100 in gift cards on top of that. There's going to be just a fuck ton of prizes at this event. And it'll be a ton of fun. It's starting really early. I forget. I think I'm having dice roll. I mean, I think the event's going to start at 9 a.m. Like dice roll. Like, so you have to be there at 8:30 for sign up. Dice roll at 9. It's a very early startup. But because the prize end of it, it's going to go 5 rounds and it's going to take a while to hand off everything. I have to give away the prizes for that event, and then I have to give away the overall prizes. And we're handing out the t-shirts. I have plaques. I got all sorts of things. There's clowns. There's whores. There's everything is going to be there.
And it clown takes whores?
Time. Ooh, that maybe. Surprise! But yeah, so that is on October 3rd, and it's going to be a hoot.
A hoot nanny?
Just a hoot. Oh. I lost the rights of the Annie.
I like Corey, by the way.
I like how Nathan tried his veiled attempt to read what was the ingredients. No, and
it's
such
from it's from Finland. Yep. I found that.
I had won it at the raffle at the Cask Cup. So I didn't know if you guys wanted to have some.
Yeah, I'll give her a shot.
If Nathan reaches calories for the day, I reach my calories for the day.
I always try to finish chocolate. Hold on, that didn't work. I'll think up something good here.
All right.
I'm because finish is a verb as well as being good. A country. Yeah, I'll get
right. Ryan, I'll try to announce my bit. It's about the Saturday. Well,
I have two things coming. So I've since I'm a part of almost every single Wisconsin War Machine group, and if you think I'm not, you might as well just send me a link to it because I'll take it over and I'll probably go there at some point in time. But Green Bay got put on my radar recently, so at Gnome Games in Green Bay this Saturday, they're having a 50-point steamroller. I can't remember the start time right off the top of my head.
10 p.m.
10 p.m.?
No, damn.
Oh, okay. But I'm planning on trying to get to that. Driving 3 hours was a little intimidating for me when I didn't see that anyone was really invited, and most of the people that were going are people that I could play against in Oshkosh.
Yep.
And just go eat Pete's Garage there instead. We could just move it there and it'd be fine. But then I found their Facebook group, and they're 74 members strong. Which you can probably cut that in half for active players. So enough to where I think there will be people there. So if you want to go and have some fun in Green Bay, that'll be a good time. And then on the exact opposite side of the state, the next weekend, but this is a Sunday the 27th, there is a 35-point two-list event in La Crosse at River City Hobbies. And their meta is fairly new, so I am, myself and everyone who's coming in my vehicle, we're all building like fairly newbie friendly list, so there's no runes, no EE for me.
Am I riding in your vehicle?
Well, you're not riding in my vehicle, but I will. Why? I will stand at the door.
He won't bring check. Newbie friendly.
I'll stand at the door and check everyone who's not Lacrosian, and if your list looks not newbie friendly, it will be 2 kicks to the nuts, and then you can enter.
If I bring pigs, are you going to look any deeper than that?
No, if you just say minion. Well, if you say minions, I might be, but then pigs, I'll just let you go right on.
Like, you don't even check that I have Nature of the Beast on that shit?
Nah, that's all right. You can play around that. I already proved that. Beat you so easy.
You son of a bitch.
That was not a hard game at all. I was just toying with you the whole time. So those are my announcements for events that are coming up. And like I said, if you have some Facebook group or some group where you culminate all your War Machine activities, you should let me know somehow. I'm Vox Player on many various forums. And you can find me on Facebook real easy, too. So let me know. I'll probably make an appearance at your events and sign some autographs, even though they're probably not worth much. So no. Those are my... Hey, I'll take what I can get.
Any more wisdom from our thing?
No, just a lot more people happy about Nathan ranting.
Well,
I'm not wrong, though.
No. No, you can't have a fucking sign. It's a deep fried s'mores.
And it's like the second... Them. Like, it's not like this was the last day of the fest and it was closing time. This was the middle of the day of the second weekend.
And I would, if I have never been to a Ren fair, I would probably, if I saw that sign, I would want that probably more than a meat on a stick. But a meat on a stick is like a Ren. It's like if they were like, oh, we're out of meat on a stick, it's a Ren fair. You can't be out of that. You can't have a sign that says deep fried s'mores and not have that.
in other news, Finnish people have amazing chocolate.
It is chocolate. My phone recognized the barcode.
Fancy. Yeah. What did it say? How many calories did you?
One serving, and I have no idea what's a serving of this.
Probably one of the bars.
One of the two bars, yeah, right? Probably. Yeah. So I assumed that I had a third of a serving, but one serving was 450 calories.
I believe it was very good. Yeah. So it had a lot of calories.
There you go. So I figure it'd be nice and share that with our podcast group.
Aw.
We appreciate it.
For, I won that as the raffle at Cass Cup.
Although you ate one full bar and we each only got a third of a bar. So you're always so nice.
Did you email me the file yet?
No.
All right.
Because it's on this computer over here. All right. That's recording right now.
Oh. All right. He has the six-pack data locked down for me.
Yeah. I mean, I want to get a hold of that too. Just, I'm sure you'll share it with everybody. But there was an unnamed podcast that thinks that if you play Crix, your win percentage increases by 10%. And I'm going to give it a try next year, probably.
Travis is calling bullshit on you, by the way.
For what?
For not showing up at Waukesha.
Oh, the difference is Waukesha doesn't have China Star, which is the best Chinese place in the entire state, and Travis can S a D.
Did you not go to his event? Oh, because you missed his
event. No, well, he's going to Wausau to beat up on a bunch of newbies, so that's his. Well, they might not be newbies, but he was like, it seemed like it was more of a new person friendly environment, and he's like, Gaspy 2, Gaspy 3, I'm going to see how many excarnates on turn 1 I can get off.
Shine a diamond?
Huh?
Salvage a destroyer?
Okay. I don't know.
Well, you said Travis could S a D.
S a D. Oh, he can suck a dick.
Oh, that works too.
It does.
All right.
Yeah, but I've seen the videos of that. That's not really an uncommon thing.
Pretty much anyone can suck a dick.
Yeah. Well, they can, yeah. I mean, he can do it especially well because he's so used to it, especially in round 5 on certain tournaments. Boom. That's why he won't come to lacrosse. He doesn't want to call.
I thought you weren't even there.
No, but I got to hear all
Where
about
were you?
It. I was doing a birthday thing for my lady
escalation?
Friend. Even though I could have went to the event.
I thought her birthday was on Friday. You had a birthday thing
Her birthday was Friday, and then I did a surprise birthday gathering on the day of the six-pack that didn't end up being a surprise because they fucked up my reservation. So, we got there and sat down and started eating at 8 o'clock, and I was like, I could have made it to that if I just would have got my shit together. But
yeah, we were done by
7. Yeah, I know. We were done really by then. Quick. So I should have went. Yeah. It was probably in my best interest to go.
Because though it was 5 rounds, I mean, the first couple rounds were like over an hour in 10 long. Minutes. Yeah. Yeah, not even.
So
yeah, it was pretty fast.
It was a sad time, so it just means I'll have to come back in the last one and try and solidify my
When I get the data, I'm gonna like pull this like who's in the lead for every spot, so everyone kind of knows if anything. Because some of the positions are locked down. Certain factions, like
Kador's. I was trying to.
Dan was really considering going for a plane.
I have 3 flight. Best of convergence coins, and you gave 2 away that were not even played for to Rick.
Yeah, that's so, like, I mean, if Dan would have played last time, and then someone could have like won 2 events and probably caught up.
I was going to miss 2, and so if somebody just brought a random convergence list to those 2 events and then beat me in the 6th one, they could have gotten it.
Yeah. I was going to ask if I bring a convergence list and just go 5-0, do I get best convergence then too?
You would have more total wins than I have.
That's what matters.
Yeah, total. So you're only mattering about overall wins, not overall how many coins you have.
Correct. It's all about the best of factions, best of War Machine, best of Hordes, or tiebreakers things. Mm-hmm. But to get the best of the six-pack overall faction thing, it's all based on the number of total wins you've had over the best 5 out of 6
I have
games.
At least 5 total wins in my 3 tournament appearances. Yep. So
yes,
you have to win all out.
No, I mean, like, I could not show up and somebody could go 5-0, and I think I still get best of convergence.
Yeah, probably.
Because I think I have 6 total wins. I think I had, like, 3, 2, and 1 or something like that.
Aim for the sky, people.
But there are multiple factions still being fought over. A few of them are completely locked down. I think Crix is locked down.
Minions Mercs, might be.
Minions, I think, is locked down. Mercs is locked down. We only had one Merc player, one Caterer's Lockdown.
Well, because Minions wasn't a default one. I know we had multiple Minions players a few times, but Rick has done, you know, like he went 4-1 this last event, and, you know, he did pretty well. So correct. I think.
So, yeah, there might be. But even if there's Lockdown, there's still going to be a fuck ton of prizes. And even if you can still get a coin if you beat it, win out that, because there's still coins for the winner of that tournament.
Yeah, it's still its own tournament in addition to a shitload of raffles.
Yeah.
So you could double coin possibly if you were
there. You could coin the event and then get the plaque at the end because they have plaques.
Oh,
which plaques. I got plaques for the overalls.
I can't use those as Fury.
No.
You can.
I guess
I'll just stack like seven plaques on the table. Yeah. Blomp.
And I never give it. I felt bad last time, but anyway, a little bit. I only give best of faction plaques. Like there's no like overall plaque for winner. I just give them a big prize.
Yeah.
Like last time I gave them like a colossal, and this time I'm giving somebody the Hordes anniversary box as goes to the winner.
A firm, sincere handshake would do just fine.
Yeah. Zeppity. I was just trying to sneak us to the end. I was being clever. Do we have an actual topic?
We were talking about Ghostbusters movies. Not Ghostbusters, Men in Black.
Yeah.
It's true.
Mm-hmm.
You had a topic.
Oh, you know, here's a topic. It's actually something that I was almost embarrassed by, but I should throw this out there. Over the weekend, I had an opportunity to play a couple board games that I normally wouldn't play, touch, or typically would hate at the concept. But I played Werewolf One Night Stand. I think you played it too. I think
One Night Werewolf. Ultimate Werewolf. Mm-hmm. Yeah,
that actually was kind of fun because it was one of those games where you actually have roles and you do. It's only one night and it's over, and so they're not player elimination. You have one night. Everyone has its own role during the night. You do. Everyone takes. You close your eyes. The person I had was that had an app, so it would just say, this person, do this.
Now, so you don't even have to have somebody sit out.
No one was sitting out. It was an app. It just did it all. We played like three games in like a half an hour. We played like five games in a half an hour. It was really fast, really quick, really ridiculous. And I was surprised. I mean, the normal Werewolf I hate. It's just blind luck and stupidity. But this game actually had tons of strategy involved because you had people who knew who each other were. You had people who were purposely trading cards in the night, so it add some chaos to the game. But it was pretty cool.
Okay,
I know that was a surprise. I mean, I ranted on how much I hate Werewolf for like 108 episodes.
You don't do it blind. Like there's reasons, and we've talked about this before. And we talked about this. We tried Two Rooms in a Boom, which I thought was strictly better Werewolf, but still along the multiple nights theme.
Yeah.
But there are things that are terrible about Werewolf. It isn't like this unfathomable miasma in our soul that for some reason we just hate Werewolf. There are things you can point to and say, this is why Werewolf is a terrible, terrible game. Yeah. And so a game that addresses those points, it has a reason to be better than Werewolf.
And another game I rambled about that I played a little bit was Exploding Kittens. Like, I still think the game made. I wouldn't say it's a great game. I'd say it's an okay game, and I still think it made way too much money, and it was all of a stupid marketing campaign.
Yeah, absolutely.
But I mean, the game, I thought it'd be like Munchkin, where it would go on for 700 hours and just never end, you want to die. But it has a very quickly built-in end game mechanic. Because you draw cards until everyone blows up. It's a very simplistic, you just draw, and eventually you get a bomb, you die. And that was. It's like a 5 to 7 minute game as well.
I've heard about that. I mean, people talk about that game too.
Yeah.
I was originally equating it to being like the same type of people that are going to like and play Cards Against Humanity all the time are going to be the same amount of people that are going to play Exploding Kittens all the time, and that just turned me off to the game.
Yeah. And I could see you could pull some people into it, because, I mean, the cards have goofy names on them. People probably think they're being clever. I mean, it's extraordinarily simple, extraordinarily ridiculous. But, I mean, it's just fun enough for how quick it is, and I would never say, let's go play Exploding Kittens, but if I was, like, someone who was happy to play it, I wouldn't be like, I wouldn't hate my life playing it.
Well, it's in the niche. It's in the 10-minute long crappy, goofy card game niche, and you know those games are what they are, and so there need it helps to find a good game in each niche.
Yep.
You know, and that's why you hate Shadowhunters that I own, and you don't know why I still own it instead of just burning it. But
someday I'm going to set the game on fire, and it's going to be the best day.
As I've said to defend it fills a niche. Yeah. You know, if I have you know, whatever. I mean, it's that same kind of thing. Like, some games are terrible if you're a gamer and you want a game to sink your teeth into, but if you have this, you're just like, well,
and I've
been
trying to fill those gaps. Like, I have Sero, and then I have the other game, this Wagons East. It's not called Wagons East. It's
Cult Express.
I have
Cult Express.
Cult Express is called Wagons. But that's a fast 30-minute goofy game. I'm trying to fill some of those smaller niches, because you are right. Sometimes you're like, we can't play a big game right now.
Yeah.
I can't even play a simple a medium game with you people.
We don't have an hour. Yeah. Or like, grandma is in this group and I just can't teach grandma how to play, you know, Scepter of Zavendor. Like, we just have to put something easy on the table.
Like our last board game day, I felt like I ran through the grinder until the final part where we actually played Survive, though.
Well, to be fair, you
played probably, Two Rooms in the Boom in the middle.
We played Two Rooms in a Boom.
You did Terra Mystica, then Two Rooms in a Boom, then Princess of the Dragon Throne, then Survive.
Yeah.
So you alternated between the two types.
Survive was fun, but we sort of had to play Survive. Like, we didn't have a choice. It was sort of like a...
I did leave.
Yeah, you were sort of like, I'm mad at playing. I honestly, only because Chris and Jen came, I knew we were going to play big games, and I knew they weren't your thing. I normally wouldn't have even invited you to that, because I knew we were playing all non-Andy games. But I was like, well, Chris is here. It'd be rude not to invite him.
Oddly enough, though, I did win Terra Mystica, which is odd.
Did you like it more? Well, because there were non-Terra Mystica related reasons that you did not enjoy your previous outings into Terra Mystica.
Yeah.
Mainly Jim was there.
Well, I was trying to not say things out loud.
Oh, no, I'll call him. Jim doesn't listen to this podcast.
And Jim would probably agree.
Yeah, because Jim would like, you know why I didn't like Terra Mystica? Andy was there.
Yeah.
I'm the silent one out of the two.
Yeah.
But even those niches, fuck Cards Against Humanity and fuck anybody who likes that game.
Well, and going off of Cards, I'm sorry.
Look, you don't like it either, so you can rant against it.
Well, I was going to say, because the problem with Cards Against Humanity is it doesn't even do what the people who defend it claims it does. Because, like, I saw Rick with a copy of it, and I have a sneeze coming, so forewarned. Rick had a copy of it. He's like, yeah, well, you know, it's not the best game, but I was going to go play it with some of my family so we could see who the terrible people are. And it's like, no, because you tell yourself that, but Cards Against Humanity isn't you making terrible jokes. If you have a card that says raping a dead baby, you aren't making a joke when you play it down. The card's making a fucking joke. Exactly. If you weren't clever, you weren't original, it's like, what's my new sex position? Raping a dead baby. Well, those are two cards that exist. Mm-hmm. You're not fucking clever.
No, you're not just Lenny Bruce. Together.
You're not pushing borders.
Yeah, exactly.
The other thing Cards Against Humanity does is it shows you which friends of yours are just straight up stupid.
Yes.
Because, like, first of all, you might see, like, a throwaway combo where it's like, your new sex position is dancing to electronica or something. You think that's really funny, but it could be like your throwaway pair. And then the person who selects it somehow picks that as like the winning pile. And you're just like, are you fucking stupid? That makes no sense. There are two other things out there that are a perfectly logical pair. And they could be logical like it fits the card. Or it's logical as in, this is funny and it doesn't fit the card, but it's funny because it doesn't fit. But you just picked, like, the same thing Rain Man would have put out there. Like, that makes you, that just makes you sit there and question the people you associate with.
They'll play for hours thinking they're so fucking clever.
Oh, yeah, it's until the black deck's gone or something, and that is just so fucking terrible.
At least apples to apples, it's the exact same game mechanically. But at least apples to apples, when you come up with a clever combo, like the by now infamous thing, like touchy-feely is the adverb and somebody puts down Helen Keller.
Yeah.
That's funny.
It is.
You did that combo. The game didn't say fist-fucking Helen Keller on a card and you think it's funny that the card says fist-fucking Helen Keller. And that's different.
It's not a card in Cards Against Humanity.
Very well might be.
Well, going on those same lines of Cards Against Humanity, I hate that game with a passion. I hate apples to apples with a passion in every iteration of it. But there are two games out there that follow those same mechanics of, like, funny cards, statement, put them together, vote on it. One of them is Word Whimsy, because you get not only just you don't count by the cards you win. Basically, everybody puts down their pile, and then you vote from 5 to 1 which ones are better. So everybody gets points, so everybody's in the game at some point, and it's very finite. There's like 5 or 8 rounds, and then you're done. And the cards vary from, you know, apples to applesy, or Cards Against Humanity on its worst day. So it's more of like a fun, cool version of Cards Against Humanity, if that ever existed. It's the one step up from that. With a time limit. And if you want one that just takes it a little bit further, and you want the things you like about Cards Against Humanity are the raunchy, gross, just like crazy over the top stuff, it is I think it's Politically Uncorrect, I think, is the box. The box looks so cheesy and stupid. It's like this blue, red, and white neon on black thing. and it's, well, personally incorrect is what it's called. And basically it just has like this mechanic, the game mechanic's the same. The one person votes on what card is better, but the things are just like, I don't even think I could say that stuff in front of my mom. Like that's, and I can say whatever I want basically in front of her. So, and on top of all that, on this, like the bottom of the barrel pit of raunchiness, you also get to incorporate your friends as the ones you point out that, like, it says blank is blank. You get to, like, point out the friends that are playing the game and put the raunchy nastiness on them. So it becomes more of, like, a jabbing at everybody and being kind of an asshole through the game because you get the permission to do it there. And it opens up some interesting play experiences. So
all the cards have that? Mm-hmm. All the cards are targeted at a person?
Yep.
And whoever's the voter, when they play the card before other people with the cards out, says, now this one's about Andy.
Exactly. And puts down. Yep. That's so something. It's an interesting, there's
that almost
a,
makes it like a bridal shower game.
Kind of, sort of, with like semen and.
Have you never seen bridal shower games? They wear dicks around town.
Well, yeah, I guess so. There's the whole like suck and blow thing, and then the shirts with, I know for bachelor parties, they have the shirts with like check off the type of boobies you've seen tonight type of deal. So yeah, I'd say it really fits in that genre, but if you have a group of friends that just likes getting down and dirty and just carving into each other, like you're some kind of makeshift surgeon, it's a good one to go with. I think that's it's good to give it a try at least. And if you ever wanted to give it a try, I know they have a demo copy at Labyrinth Games in Baraboo.
Boom.
Yep. Did Travis leave the chat yet?
No, I think he's still there. He was just talking about Nathan has 6 wins. I could look to see if he's still there.
Krios 1 is a hard counter to Nature the Beast because you just kill Arcadius. What? Fuck you. Number one, how am I getting shot? I already killed all your shooty things. Number two, did I say fuck you? Fuck you.
He's still there.
Number three, like, I have, like, Krios, pop and drop doesn't work on warlocks.
No, it doesn't.
It does not work on warlocks.
You just wait. You just try to time the pop and drop turn, and then you camp your fury. Well, like, that's all you do.
If you have little to no fury on you, then it works.
Why am I ever not on 7 fury with Nature of the Beast against Krios 1?
Well, you know,
I upkeep Crippling Grasp if it's out there. Yeah. If it's not...
What's your armor? 14?
Yeah, it's something terrible, but I'm sitting on, like, 7 fury.
Yeah, but if he's got, like, 20 shots going into you...
But all my razor bores are in those guys.
No.
Yeah, it is.
They're in them, in their butts.
They're way in their butts.
It is a little more difficult to unjam when Arcadius is trying to jam you. Also, like, if he's making a concentrated effort to jam you, he'll do it.
I wrote steady on my Gorax cards.
Yeah, that's
pretty good. And that's legal.
There you go. It is legal.
I'm a judge.
Because you got 2 shield guards right there, whatever. Yeah.
God, you know, I hope Katie likes the game enough to keep up on it, so when we have her as our special guest judge at the next Who's the Boss, that...
Katie is done with the game and the community. Let's just understand that now. She will show up at cons because she likes the camaraderie at a con, but locally, she's done with everybody.
Tauwies,
accept that.
If you killed Arcadius through 7 Fury with a pop and drop...
He's playing the new Krios theme force that says Reckoners cost 2 points less.
The beasts are all knocked down, so your stuff isn't engaged, but your stuff's dead. If I didn't kill your shit with 2 flamethrowers and all that, like, I'm a terrible player if you still have enough things to chew through 7 Fury.
Yeah, I mean, you could still leave 2 Reckoners up and you'd still be fine.
Yeah.
Like, that's the thing, is the infantry will still go down.
If he has a unit of, like, POW 10s or POW 12, like, if he has a unit shooting me, then I die. But why didn't those things die to Roadhogs and Razor Boars?
Exactly. Yeah.
Kill him in the face.
Theory. Armchair War Machine is
Driver to Madison. Play Wednesday.
Yeah. Bring it Wednesday. I'll be there Wednesday. I'm going to play Nature of the Beast. I'm switching to my pigs all 2016. I'm shelving the cock. I'm going to play pigs competitive, and I'm going to see how I can mix playing the fun group and the competitive group and see if it breaks me as a human.
I'm going to be switching all factions too.
You take soon. Votes on this?
Yeah, sure. We'll do over under. How far into the year I quit the game or kill myself? But on the topic of Shield Guard, I want to say a strategic note. This is a pro tip. If somebody has a Shield Guard and you want to kill their caster or whatever's next to the Shield Guard with a CRA, just run and engage their Shield Guard. Then it can't Shield Guard.
Because that has to be a legal target for
the... legal target, and
you cannot
CRA something in melee.
Unless it's one of the weird...
Don't do that with riflemen. Is it rifle?
Husker riflemen can do that. Also, never mind.
So anybody else that has that.
I was thinking something with perfect balance, but there's perfect balance negates the combined range anyway.
South Carolina. That's the worst Carolina.
I prefer West Carolina.
That's a good Carolina.
Mm-hmm. Same thing with West Dakota.
South Dakota's the good Dakota. Mm-hmm. North Carolina's the good Carolina.
Mm.
The Carolinas, it's less cut and dry, but North Dakota blows chode.
I do like North Carolina. I've been there.
Yeah. Yeah.
All I know about North Carolina is I think they're... Is that the Hornets for the college basketball team? They got a cool mascot. That's all I know. So that already puts it above South Carolina.
Well, it's the Charlotte Hornets in NBA, and that's in North Carolina, I think.
Well, I don't know sports, whatever.
Sports!
Go, people.
Sports team.
Packers won.
Packers won. They brought back James Jones at 2 touchdowns. He wasn't needed in Oakland. He obviously brought something horrible with him because the Packers ended up giving him like 50 million fucking penalties. So I think he caught something down there when he was in Oakland and brought it back. Because I think there's something in the water in Oakland that causes penalties.
It's possible.
Probably just the social situation of thinking that kneecapping people is proper sportsmanlike conduct.
Shenanigans. Do we actually have Zappity Grumbles and stuff today?
No.
I don't think so.
We had some. There were people on our Facebook wall. There were three. There was more than three. I just saw it a minute ago. There was like five.
We should do those. Acknowledge them for their awful, awesome. Not awful, awesome.
I'm looking them up. I got the Facebooks.
I'll go to Twootwat.
This weird thing on my computer.
Those are not words, by the way.
For some odd reason, it decided to put the Dresden Files thing out again.
Well, tweet so those just ones like too.
Cock teasing people.
Oh like yeah, we should probably mention the Dresden Files that was supposed to be happening last Friday, that didn't happen because of family emergency. And
we might do it next week.
Yeah, next week might be the case.
If you guys could do it the week I'm in lacrosse, that'd be even better because then I won't miss a podcast.
Well, it'd be like a midweek thing probably.
Oh, okay, gotcha.
It'll be just like a secondary.
So with lacrosse's tournament being on Sunday, there's no way I can get here in time.
On Sunday?
On Sunday?
Yeah.
Yeah, Sunday. I stopped doing Sunday events because I love having the next day off after an event, and man, I'm done with Sunday events.
I went to school in La Crosse, and my time there wasn't amazing. I had met some wonderful people and drank more than I can remember. But the thing that I love about La Crosse is their food, their Chinese food specifically. So that I'm really going to La Crosse for that, and there just happens to be a 35-point tournament that justifies my being there.
Fair enough. Mm.
All right. So, first Zappity Grumble, Thomas asks, Simpsons, Family Guy, or South Park?
I was more of a South Park guy after the Simpsons mystique wore off, and Family Guy was just something I never really gave a rat's ass about.
I don't mind Family Guy. I think, honestly, nowadays, I would rather watch South Park. Family Guy, Simpsons,
currently,
in that order.
South Park is the best of the three, I think.
Yes.
Yeah, The Simpsons seems to be like rehashing, or not rehashing, but trying to go a little too
over
the top.
At the prime, though, I don't know if I would pick South Park over, if I would do South Park or Simpsons.
Season 4 and 5 of Simpsons is up there in the greatest television ever. Like seasons, even like going out like 3 through 8 or so.
Yeah,
you have to get
10 plus
amazing.
To start. Yeah, I'm going to go with, if you go with all time, I'm going to say Simpsons is still better. Although the commentary on South Park is sometimes amazing.
Yeah, and I mean, South Park, I think, of the three is the least entertaining. But when they have real cutting edge, like insight and satire, like when they choose to satire things and they do it real hard, they are really fucking good at it. Like one of my favorite things was when, you know, people are all like, oh my God, stem cells, and scared of stem cells and everything. And what are we doing? And so they literally had Christopher Reeve breaking babies in half and sucking their spinal fluid out to keep his legs functioning because, you know, that's the stupid extreme version of what people think stem cell research is.
Correct. And that's when they do satire so hidden in their episode where it doesn't feel like it's a satire.
Yeah.
Like the whole Pokemon craze. I mean, like, they hide it very well.
I feel like the South Park writers are a little bit more in tune to like the social climate and their audience. I mean, The Simpsons really did pull some stuff with like the the middle class commentary. Mm. But I do really feel like when it came to social commentary, that South Park was really on top, and Family Land. That's where I worked when I was 14 years old. Family Guy is just like stupid punchline after stupid punchline. I'm hitting you over the head with stupid punchline. This dog can talk and this baby's crazy. That's what I really feel like Family Guy was to me.
I mean, sometimes it's good at that. Yeah. I mean, that's not necessarily a bad thing, but it's the least worthwhile of those
shows. It wasn't a good Texas show about making, you know, selling propane. Then it would have been like the...
Oh, why wasn't that a choice?
Yeah.
God, we could have fought over that again.
No.
I'm going to watch that whole show again. It's no. So fucking good.
No. I guess for me, it would probably be South Park, Simpsons, Family Guy. I still really like a lot of episodes of Family Guy, though, too. I've started watching the stuff that I missed after they came back. So that I saw like the first season after they came back, and then I didn't really pay much of attention. Some of the stuff in there is just pretty darn good.
If The Simpsons had only been seasons 2 through 10, I would have said no other animated show could ever compare.
Correct.
Exactly. Yeah. It's okay. The stinkers after that really were just like, yeah. Why are you doing this?
Like, the thing is, like, if you watch a random Simpsons episode accidentally now, because that's the only time I ever watch The Simpsons is if I accidentally catch one of the new episodes, they're not bad. They're just like, okay.
They just
I
don't
guess
have that luster
you were
anymore.
Okay. You sure were a thing. Well, and then I think, I'm done with it.
Well, I think The Simpsons was so like they were like just the on the mountaintop when it came to like that genre of TV animated family shows. But then like as soon as these other ones started coming around, it seemed like a lot of that luster got buffed off.
Yeah, I don't think it's just a matter of being first. They looked like they were the best, though. I think they lost a lot of the good writing crew and everything like that. Like, part of the magic...
There was completely new... Around season 10 to 12, completely new showrunners, completely new writers. I mean, they really revamped a lot of their staff.
Also, my favorite season is season... I'm sorry, I'll say one more thing and then I'll let you... My favorite season is season 4, and they talk about it in the commentary tracks. The reason that season 4 is really amazing, like, that's the one with the Cape Fear parody and all those, like, really classic episodes like that, is they had all been fired... Like, all the original writers, like, the season 2 and 3, like, the founding people, like, half of them had just been fired. And so they didn't give two shits anymore. So season 4 was way more of that, like, edgy, really aggressive stuff that we like in something like South Park. Like, that's what South Park has over The Simpsons. Simpsons now is so safe. But those early years, they weren't safe. They were a lot edgier, and you wouldn't recognize that from now.
Yeah.
That's what I was just about to say. That is Simpsons, kind of going in order of family friendly to not so family friendly, is Simpsons, Family Guy, and South Park. And sometimes South Park and Family Guy can intermingle there because South Park is really more not family.
You know what The Simpsons reminds me of is there's a great picture of Ice Cube holding an AK-47 from his NWA years, and then right next to it is a picture of him wearing a life preserver in a rowboat on a lake, like holding a fishing pole. And it's just like then and now, and that's The Simpsons, like season 4 to season 24. Like all the edginess is gone, all the danger's gone. Like they have the money, they don't care. They're living the life.
Yeah. Straight out of Springfield.
Oh, Zappity.
Yeah, I guess.
Drumble!
Alright, if you could only eat one dish the rest of your life, what would it be? I kind of know. I would probably eat pepper steak.
That's good stuff.
All the time. I love pepper steak.
Meat cheese?
Actually, I just like the
milk steak.
Sauce.
milk steak? Oh.
I think I'm always down for a burger and fries. I mean, it wouldn't leave me looking the greatest, not like it does anymore right now, but there are so many different ways you can make a burger. If you're like stamping one exact way of making something, then I think it gets a little more convoluted. But if it's like burger and fries, I can eat 20 different ones on any given day.
I have to say it's a couple potatoes and ham. It's
not raw eggs and crackers.
It's on the list, but if I have to go eternity... I'm going to need my ham.
Just, it's not my
just the rest of your life.
So like an hour? That's what I mean. It's
I
not my...
I've had some eggs and crackers in a few weeks.
So fucking weird.
I'll bring some next time.
It's not my favorite thing. I have raw eggs and crackers at home. Just if I wanted to eat random shit in a bowl, I could.
Just do Cooking with Brian. We were on the side.
Just take some eggs.
God, that... Like, you should film that.
Cook the eggs. Make egg salad. Put that on the crackers.
I did make scrambled eggs. I throw it on the stove. I did it. It was okay. It wasn't as good. I might put it in the oven next time and bake it.
We could do a little interesting
episode. Like a caveman learning the concept of cooking.
If we found one person brave enough to eat whatever the hell it is that we would cook for like $10 or under, it'd be really interesting to do a video of that. All the crippled system people cooking and then feeding this poor, poor soul whatever we decided to do.
We could probably get Marshall to do it.
Free food.
I'm going to throw out, this is not my favorite dish, but I can eat infinite crunchy tacos. Just like
I'm kind of in the opposite. I already said mine too, but I soft tacos too.
Because about the corn tortilla, and so I don't like soft because usually the flour tortilla. But it doesn't even have to be good. Like I've told my Taco Bell 10-pack story before. So like I mean that's the thing is I will eat. Give me a crunchy taco. It's going in my face. Just 50 of them.
Dorito taco shells too. Sure. Are you going to go with those? Or just it has to be crunchy?
Kickstart.
There has to be a Cooking with Brian show now.
It'd be very short episodes. Like sometimes like, okay, sometimes it'd be, I combine eggs and crackers. Other times it'd be, here's me eating a pizza. Yeah. We're done for the day.
Even better, it would just be the camera that's just showing your kitchen.
Yeah.
Like it's like got a sensor on it. It detects you walking into the kitchen, yeah. Either with no pants on or anything like that, and then cooking.
Yeah.
We totally won't do that.
Yeah.
Don't tell Brian.
You like to combine Ritz crackers. Half episodes is me eating Ritz crackers with peanut butter. That's half the episodes right there.
Just the shot.
The Henry's Kitchen YouTube videos, the chili for one, where he has to divide all the ingredients by seven because he's using a recipe that feeds 6 to 8 people. That's one of my favorite videos.
So we have to do that now. We'll do a Cooking with Brian. And it could be either.
Yeah, well, if you do, I think one of my coolest like cooking tricks is breading things with Ritz crackers, but it's completely terrible for you. On the same lines of like dividing a 7-serving thing or 7-serving directions, this is more like multiplying the serving size of Ritz crackers by 30 just to bread a piece of meat.
Mm.
So good.
With a lot of butter.
No,
well, Ritz is basically butter.
Yeah, it's butter just and flour. Ritz and eggs. So it's half of your recipe, but you put heat to it.
The other thing I've been eating lately that I realize is probably bad for me is, you ever have cream wheat?
Yes.
Oh, so you take cream of wheat, and then I used to say like add a little bit of milk, a little bit of sugar. I would add so much sugar it would literally be almost watery soup because it was mostly just sugar with a little
melted sugar
with a little bit of cream wheat mixed into it. In a bowl like this big. Yeah. You might. I always wondered why I was like bouncing. It's out of control. It's like five. It's like a container of sugar, one serving of cream of wheat, and another teaspoon of milk.
My mind went completely wrong. I thought you were talking like cream of mushroom soup.
Oh, no.
Or something like that. So I was thinking, it was like, why are you putting sugar into cream of mushroom soup? That makes no sense.
I think Brian's just going to get a visit from the Quaker Oats guy sooner or later.
Goddamn meat.
That's not the Quaker Oats guy.
He looks like...
Quaker Oats guy was in John Carpenter's The Thing?
No, I thought he was... No, he's done something. No, Campbell's Soup? No,
Wilder Brindley's in The Thing.
It's either Campbell's Soup or Quaker Oats.
Quaker Oats guy.
Well, I guess he was... In my mind, it's the actual Quaker guy. You're thinking about the Quaker?
Oh, yeah. He meant Will.
I was thinking of that guy from the logo. Just showing up like in The Thing. Just in the full fucking Quaker costume. Just wailing on their radios. I want that so bad.
No, I used to remember that guy's name, but so I can't remember.
You get to the same day you get your deep-fried s'mores.
Yeah.
You wake up screaming in the night.
Fucking deep-fried s'mores. Zappity. They cheered up a little because they had wiener dog races.
Zappity. Double zappity. Grumble, grumble.
With the rise of the broken-ass theme list, are there any theme lists that present an alternative way to play a caster that is no more or less competitive than playing them out of theme?
Whoa.
I think there are. I mean, a million times, yeah.
Such as?
Well, like I've said before, the grim theme list that lets you get your ambushing scouts... Like, Grimm isn't extremely competitive, but he's not...
Which Grimm?
This would be Grimm 2, Grimm 2. I think.
Oh, okay, yeah.
Has this theme. So he's not extremely competitive, but he's not he's not extremely competitive one way or another. Neither of those lists takes him and puts him over the top or takes away things that he would really want. I think there are a lot of casters out there that have theme forces that are like that. It's just that people don't explore them so much because they do have the big flashy lights of like, here's 11 light war beasts, or here's 1 point rune shapers, or here's whatever 6 point war hogs or whatever.
Yeah.
You know, there's the extremely over the top stuff, and people just see that a lot because it's really competitive and it shores up a lot of matches. That's one thing, I guess, to go just on a side rant of like why runes and EE is so ever present in the meta when you're a troll player or when you're looking at the troll matchup, because no matter what you do, you cannot tech so hard against either of those lists or that list pairing that one list is completely completely worthless. Like, there's always going to be something in that pairing that's going to be able to deal with whatever you're throwing at them, other than Chromac 2, which I've discovered. But I do feel that's why the list is so present. And that's why some of those other broken theme lists are so out there and in the open, is because they have very few bad matchups. It's not that their power level is too high, it's just the matchups. They just don't have any bad ones. Like,
don't druids kind of fuck with both those lists?
Yep, that's why Chromac 2 is a pain in the ass. Not even just Chromac 2
specifically, but any circle caster with a full unit of druids, because they put up all the clouds. You can't shoot their army. You can only shoot them, and they're really high defense, which is kind of rough for EE. And then you obviously get no magic, so runes is dead.
That's where the things that you do with EE to combat druids are, you have to really lean on your slag trolls. They shoot. They're the better shooting beasts in the army, and they're the more like tanky. And they can do a little bit more work against druids. You really want the storm trolls to go into them, but with the UA, it's not worth it. But if you punk that UA, you're okay. I think that's why the list is so hard, because your trolls don't hit the best. You kind of have to really rely on Kalandra being able to get the rerolls to hit and kill them. But then what happens is, in the Chromac 2 scenario, behind all that are just a bunch of heavy war beasts ready to go kill, you know, the four slag trolls you just gave them, because it'll probably take all four to kill that wall of druids.
Yeah, Tord is saying the EE druids are immune to most of the elemental attacks except for
the slag trolls,
yeah. which are the corrosion based.
So you don't have zero outs against druids, right. But once you start sniping them
with your slags, obviously their clouds get smaller and everything. But
yeah, that bubble gets smaller.
And the counter magic bubble gets smaller. Yeah.
Yeah, I've had to face against druids multiple times with my Runes of War. When I decided to take them one list for an event.
It is shitty.
That was fun.
The rune shapers, you really want them to do work for their 1 point. I mean, like, that's what makes them so good. Pow 14s for 1 point. So good.
Yeah.
But against druids, you kind of have to do something different, because the circle match is bringing sprint, and that list hates sprint. Like, I will swear up and down, runes hate sprint, because they'll get into a rune shaper and they'll sprint away because they can stay at reach range, and you don't force lock. Then they kill you, run away, and they've lost nothing, and you've lost half a unit, if not a full unit. That's where, like, the only, I don't know, I have a whole spiel on this because it's my most worst that's my worst matchup, but I won't dwell on it any longer.
Good, because I stopped caring.
Zappity.
most of the Merc casters.
Yeah, most of them have got theme forces that allow you to play the list. Magnus 2 probably is the biggest one.
Although some would argue that it's super competitive, so it goes against the thing. But I think Magnus 2 is legit as fuck in general.
He's a really good caster.
He was Denny 3 before there was a Denny 3.
Correct.
Or
a Denny 2.
No, because there was a Denny 2.
Yeah.
So I'm saying Magnus 2 was Denny 3. He just was in the wrong faction and the model had a different name.
Iris 2's theme with the Mana Wars, I think he might discount them a little bit in his theme list. It is, if you ever get a chance to try and just dust the Shock Troopers off and throw them in that list, he does surprisingly well with them.
I talked Jordan. I talked our local Jordan into doing that because I browbeat him, and he was annoyed at me because it was surprisingly good.
Yeah, it's not a bad list.
Well, it's the pile of wounds, and it was before really people started taking fist and shit a lot, but it was like, here's 850 million hit points
and
going 4 inches a turn, but they're going to get there.
Well, and you know, with the Shock Troopers, they move, they advance 4, they Kovnik for the shield wall to go to 6, and Tactical Supremacy gets them up to 9. That's pretty decent.
This was pre-Kovnik, actually, I think. Now after that the Kovnik has come out, holy shit.
I know, they do a lot with him, so...
I haven't even thought about that post-Kovnik.
Yeah, it's really legit.
Can that Theme Force take him?
I think they can, yeah.
Because he's not a UA, so he's not grandfathered in.
Because the Pikemen can... I think it's Pikemen Solos and Pikemen are in there, too.
Yeah, he's a Pikeman. Okay, I can look it up.
Well, whatever. Doesn't matter. But if he's allowed in that list, then I'm surprised I haven't seen people taking that list. Because with him, that thing's scary.
The Kador focus is so narrow, in my opinion. There's very, there are very few times, even when somebody introduces something new, people are just like, well, that was always there. Like, the Ocean's 18 was a big one where it was just, like, shaking the ground. And it was just like, this is really cool. It becomes part of the canon. And now we don't care about any other options. It's kind of shitty like that. Like, Vlad 2's kind of fallen off the scene, and I'd really like to see him come back more. I think he's popped his head in a few places. I think he won a big tournament recently, like, within the last 6 months.
I mean, it'll go like this, too. It's like, even though Haley 2 received her big nerf, we'll probably see her, you know, resurging again. We'll probably possibly see Denny 2 hit back again as well.
Brian's on the edge of his seat.
No. I was just... My phone, I lost my widget. I put the widget back.
Oh, okay.
My widget had fallen off.
Widgets are good.
I know. I was widgetless, people. It was an emergency.
Even though you've dropped the Crix ball, I still think that you might maintain that the Scar Force with all of the Satixis is probably not as effective, but it could be considered like a little bit close to the level of like the Scar 30 Bane Knights deal that happens.
Well, Scar 2 Theme Force, when you put in 20, when you have like 30 to 40 Raiders. I mean, it's very...
People hate you.
I played it multiple times. I won many games with that list and tore through lists. I mean, I think it's better like in a three-list format where you don't have to, a two-list where you don't need to play it every time. But if you have it as a tool and you play against people, certain people just can't put down lists against it. Like, you literally shut down matchups. Like, they can't risk it. And it can do a lot of the other things, too. I mean, it actually can hit pretty hard. You got multiple units with Weapon Masters and ignoring shields and whatnot. I liked it.
You had your finger up.
No, wait, he has a finger.
I was just saying, you're talking about Irosk 1, right?
Yeah, one of the Irosks.
Iron Fang Solos is one of his.
He's doing things tomorrow!
No, don't.
He's so happy. I keep catching him in the corner of the eye and thinking there's a dog there.
My very last point on this Theme Force thing, and then I'll bury it, is when it comes to the troll cannon, which is where I've been living for the past year, the big turnoffs for the theme list even being brought into the discussion for a caster are, number one, can I take a stone? Number two, can I take fell collars? Those seem to be the two big pieces. If I can't have those in my list, then it really is, it's out of the conversation for me for the most part, because those are such huge pieces.
I agree
for
with
me.
Him.
Which is funny is that since I played Trolls in Mark 1, when the stone was an action and not an anytime ability, I trained myself to not take the stone a lot. Because if you wanted any kind of speed, you just had to say, fuck that guy, he's holding me back. But now that he can shout and then run, it is a pretty auto-include.
It is better. And the big thing is, like, the incorporeal is such a boogeyman for that army. So the troll, the stone just becomes that much more
On the important. Other hand, shut the fuck up. Zappity.
Grumble.
Yay!
I almost had it, like a solid 15 minutes of War Machine talk.
Oh my god.
They were getting unruly.
Yeah. No one was enjoying that.
Nobody was like, oh my god, there's War Machine talk.
This is fascinating, please continue. That was not something.
Everybody wants to hear me talk about trolls.
Yeah, anyway, next question.
Jerry Doyle?
Hi, Jerry.
Sure.
Best poor man's Bruce Willis? Do you know who Jerry Doyle is?
I know that I should know who Jerry Doyle is.
You should know. Because I looked him up then, too, to find out who he was.
Who's that one guy?
He's a radio host.
What the hell is that?
All right.
Should I know him?
For his...
Oh, is it fucking Garibaldi from Babylon 5?
I think so.
Yeah, if it's Garibaldi, yeah, I'll go with that. Who's the guy that's the poor man's Crispin Glover? You know, not Crispin Glover, I'm sorry, Christian Slater. Who's the guy who's Christian Slater but not Christian Slater?
He's a worse actor than him.
He was an iRobot. It was weird to see him in a current popular thing.
The one that's not Christian Slater.
The only thing I can think of is Sean Penn, and he's not
cheap one. No, that's not what I mean. You know that.
Oof. Edward Norton?
No.
God, you're all James Earl Jones?
Who's all right? So as you're looking that up, then we're going to go to what is the best type of barbecue sauce? Mustard-based, vinegar-based, or ketchup-based, etc.
The tomato style ketchup.
Yeah, ketchup.
Vinegar
ketchup
barbecue is an affront to humanity. And I don't care what fucking... Is that like Alabama where they do vinegar barbecue? It's terrible.
Yeah.
I'd probably leave. I would just like leave. That's almost as bad as playing Fallout 4 on a PS4. Son of a bitch.
I'm going to eat vinegar barbecue while I do it.
Yeah. Oh, I'm going to play Fallout 4 on
Well, you, PS4. You're the kind of person who would.
Yeah.
I mean, you make terrible life choices constantly. I would expect that of you.
Steven Dorff is a poor man's Christian Slater.
Yes, I agree with that. Yes. Yeah,
I'll take that. He's in Blade. So
Did you actually search poor man's Christian Slater?
No, I knew they were both in Alone in the Dark. So I looked up Alone, which now I've searched for a lot of things on this phone, and you know I should burn this thing because I don't always remember to go into safe mode, but searching for Alone in the Dark IMDb is one of the saddest things I've ever done on that phone.
I've searched for that too. Oh, I always want to look up to see who's in it and that.
Is
it Tara Reid in that thing too?
Yeah, as a scientist.
Oh my god, she's so horrible. Even in the stupid Sharknado films. All right. So Zappity.
Grumble. What's Twitter?
No vinegar. Ketchup base, I think we said. Right?
Yeah, I think we're unanimous on ketchup.
They said ketchup, but vinegar is an ingredient in ketchup, but so is tomatoes, dipshit. there's a difference.
All right, we're not to recommendations yet, so we won't mention that one yet.
I couldn't find anything on Twitter, but I did find why Alex was snarky about what was Nate playing, which is that every time... So I was Twitch streaming on my PS4, and it was called Nate Plays Warframe because I was playing Warframe, and I'm clever with titles. And then, I wanted to check something, so I, stopped, and then I started it again, and so it retweeted it because it considered it a new broadcast.
Mm-hmm.
So, because I was experimenting, I was trying to learn how to do Twitch so that I could do it a little bit competently, so I tweeted Nate Plays Warframe, four times in the course of 20 minutes because I kept leaving and coming back in. That was what I learned on Twitter trying to find Zappity Grumbles. I could not find Zappity Grumbles because the Twitter app is terrible.
It is pretty terrible. Zappity.
Grumble. Recommendation? We got more.
No, we got more. We got more in here. Will you be happier playing the double Axiom Iron Mother list now that Gorman won't fuck it over?
Hypothetically, but I don't play that list anymore.
Yeah, I don't think I've ever seen that list on the table other than when you feel it. Yeah,
it's good, but the version with the fucking with the TEP exists now. Why would I ever have a list without a TEP in it?
Mm-hmm.
So good.
Zebby. Grumble. Caster in each faction that deserves more fluff attention.
I have no idea.
I don't read any of the fluff.
Gordon.
I wouldn't mind seeing more action from, unfortunately, Calandra or Grizzle, the female troll casters. I think they're a little under advertised or appreciated in the fluff.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, cool. I can see that.
Well, there you go.
Zappity.
Gravel.
Most memorable army paint scheme that you've seen in person. If it's taken a while for us to think, then it is not the most memorable. I have two of them, two that I can think of. There was at Lock and Load, I think 2 years ago, there was a purple ruined, basically all the ruins on them were glowing purple, troll blood theme. They had a lot of amethyst rocks on there. It was just a really nice looking army. That and I like Max's Retribution, his orange and white.
His portal. I'm sure.
Portal. Yeah, it's pretty much the portal colors.
I guess I was hesitating because I was trying to think best as opposed to just most memorable. One of the most memorable ones that I didn't necessarily like, although I could see that it was well executed, was two Adepticons ago, the guy with the monochromatic Crix. I don't know if you saw that, but it looked black and white. Mm-hmm. Basically the whole thing was black with white highlights. So at first glance, you're like, well, this is just primed. And then you looked at it closer and they were actually very, very well painted, just with barely any white, monochrome. And then was it last War Machine weekend? The guy was selling that pirate Crix shit. You remember that pirate ship that was set up that was all heavily modded, and people were just in a circle around it masturbating because it was so gorgeous, and everybody wished they had the grand he was asking for it. That was fucking amazing.
I think you would just call that Crix army, and this may be me being nitpicky, but you call it grayscale because if it was monochromatic, white wouldn't be part of it because it's all.
Yeah,
colors.
Yeah, that's true. People kept were. But it was so subtle. It almost was all black.
Yeah.
It just the dry brush tips to bring out, the thing.
When you can do that, it looks amazing.
Yeah, because it wasn't full black and white. It wasn't they had white eyes and stuff like that. It was just barely had been touched just to bring out the highlights.
Yeah. I think when it comes to some of the most memorable and well-executed paint jobs in War Machine, I think Jolly Roger Studios does some of the most bombastic, crazy stuff. They did the orange to teal legion of Everblight with brown skin or brown brown armor plates that was just phenomenal looking, and they did the red, black, and white circle army that was just immaculate. Like that, the people who do the painting over there are just they're amazing at being able to crank out that stuff and make it look so cohesive and nice. I think if you ever get a chance to look at Jolly Roger Studios, they do some amazing stuff.
Yep.
This is a paint job and a mod, and this is the last thing I'll throw on this topic, but the paint job is good enough that it could stand on its own, but the mod is what is fucking amazing about it, is that robotic ninja legion army.
Oh, yeah.
That is the greatest thing I have ever seen in my life.
I would say like, in conversions, I don't think you can get that much higher on a whole army. That's committed
that
to a whole nother
so
level.
Fucking amazing.
He paints it really well,
too. Yeah, like the paint job is legit amazing, too. Like yeah. Everything about that is great, but that
the
is...
concepts are really well thought out.
That's a rare commodity to have somebody who can do that type of level of conversions and paint
the concept
well.
Is genius. It's amazingly executed from a mod work and modeling standpoint, and then his paint job is golden brush level.
And yeah. It's recognizable, too. Like, it hits the... It's like the super triple threat army. It's painted well, converted well, and it's recognizable.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So good. That's my input, Deputy.
Cool. I'd like to think I'm in that book if I would ever paint.
You paint well if you ever paint.
Yeah. I did paint. I did. I ended up with second at the Chaos Cup for my painted miniature.
There you go.
That I painted on like...
The day before the event?
Nope.
Two days before?
2 days before. Wednesday and Thursday is when I painted it, and I had it ready to go. That's
ahead of time on Andy painting clock.
Exactly. Exactly. I wasn't up until like 4 a.m. the day before I had to drive out. But no, second place. I was pretty happy.
I'll echo Nate's sentiments in that it was another thing that was an excellent Texas.
No, he's on.
Hey, it's not War Machine Weekend yet.
Yeah,
I guess so.
He said by War Machine Weekend. He never said which one.
Speaking of War Machine Weekend and painting, can I just show you my Linessa Rissel when I get a chance? She's completely naked.
Modifier?
Yeah. No, I didn't see any. I know you were looking for like the newspaper shots, like I was holding a bare metal one for ransom, but I'm just gonna be like, Andy, here's my Linessa Rissel.
Have I shown you that thread? I thought it was on Daka Daka, but it's not. It's on some other forum. But there's a thread where somebody posted their Legion battle box that they painted, and they got the whole thing in their shredders, and there's the Carnivian and everything, and then Lilith, they had shaved off her pants and green stuff molded external labia, and nobody in the thread fucking mentions it.
Yeah.
Like, they just all go, oh, that's a neat looking battle box. I'm like, how are none of you psychos saying, dude, what's with the vagina?
Yep. Well, that's common. And I don't mean to insult
anytime
the
I get
DACA
hope in
people.
Humanity. Anytime I get hope in humanity, I pull up that thread and go, no, we all should burn.
Yeah, the DACA community in general just has some of the most over-the-top, crazy, sexist, objectifying modeling habits. And that's just... The way it, I'm don't mean to compartmentalize those people into one certain group of people, but running rampant on that site.
Zap.
Yeah. Grumble. Yeah,
Grumble. I think that was that it? Yeah, let's see. Yeah, I think that's it. Somebody was asking, probably more for you, Brian, how hard is it to learn
Forbidden Stars?
Forbidden Stars is a doozy of a fucking game. Even when I still don't have the explanation down with new players to under 40 minutes. It's like, I set it up, and now 40 minutes of how to play the game. I would highly recommend watching how to play videos on Wargame Geek. I read the book, I watched some of the video introductions, and I already had played the other. I mean, if you've played StarCraft and Runes of War, or any game by that designer, I can never pronounce his name, but he's a really good Fantasy Flight game designer. You will, if you play Game of Thrones, Rune Wars, or StarCraft, you will have a very huge head start, because other than the combat, which is different than anything else they've ever done, and it's done very well, everything else is pretty well pulled from all their other games. You're like, you'll get a head start, but it's... It's a little
order chits, activate zones, shit like that.
Yeah, exactly. But it's intense. It's great. It's amazing. But it's fucking it's a doozy. It's worth it though. If you got four people who are really hardcore in a gaming like that, want to play 4-hour, 5-hour games, it's heaven.
Ta.
Yeah.
Somebody
grumble. That's it.
Recommendations on the stuff. Who has a thing to recommend?
Mad Max is on IMAX this week.
Yep.
It's
So you have to schedule a time.
Yeah. So if you haven't seen Mad Max on IMAX, you should see IMAX on IMAX.
Mad Max. We should go Max see Mad on IMAX.
Mad IMAX.
Mad IMAX.
Fury Road. You should definitely go see it because, you know, it's still actually money that's going out to them there. They're more likely going to have a sequel.
Man, this Taubes guy wants me to track him down and kill him. He's wrong about everything.
What are you saying?
Listen, motherfucker, I went to school for culinary arts, and barbecue sauce should be tomato-based. I will fight you.
While you're playing Fallout 4 on the PS4, you son of a bitch! Are you going to play it in black and white, too, just to really, you know, take it down? And just play it in black and white with one eye closed.
No.
And you, one hand in front of the other eye.
An old television, too, and look it up there.
Yeah, get, like,
with
get a
little RF switch on it.
19-inch CRT.
Yeah, the ones that have like the little like dog bone shaped things that you had to screw in the back.
Yeah.
Don't ruin your... Did you see somebody playing Quake on an oscilloscope?
I think
that was pretty cool.
Don't ruin your enjoyment just because I'm going to watch you play games. They're not that important. Screw you people. Don't ruin his enjoyment of the world.
You have a good counterpoint.
Screw the world.
I am partially just worried that my shitty computer.
Oh, I hear you.
Your computer,
my computer's falling behind.
I have been playing a lot more PS4 games this year than I ever have been. And if it wasn't for, honestly, games like Fallout and Total War are the only. Well, I guess honestly, be fair, Blizzard like Heroes of the Storm and Overwatch. Those are the only things I play on my PC now. Otherwise, I am really migrated to the PS4 for most other things. It's just. Total War on a PC is unstoppable. Fallout with the mods or Elder Scrolls. Well, yeah,
I have always in the past had the rule to always get those because the mods are such a big part of it.
Yeah.
And that's the thing is like New Vegas runs fine, Skyrim does not.
Yeah.
So it just depends where in between.
It's not going to be Skyrim. Probably middle of the ground.
But I don't know how barely New Vegas is running fine. Well, run you a Kickstarter. Like, I don't know.
We'll do what we need to do to get you not to play it on the PS4.
Okay. So are we going to try doing the... Iron Chef off?
We'll figure something out.
I mean, we could try doing that. Like, basically make a meal that's...
Eggs and crackers?
That's
just eggs and crackers? And barbecue?
I'm not doing this. I'm not going to eat whatever Ryan makes.
You guys make your big thing, and I'll be in over the corner and just bring me a big box of eggs and crackers. And you guys are off making these complicated meals, and I'm just shoving, rolling the crackers over.
Yeah.
I'd give it a try, at least, just to say I did it. But, Salmonella is a tough
thing. I don't know. I've ate that for years. I'm talking dozens and hundreds of eggs.
Raw eggs don't really give you salmonella.
No, like, I understand.
That's all well and gone. Yeah.
Somebody mentioned that Muse has been talking about us in the last couple of
episodes.
They have.
They're just jealous.
Because I still listen to their podcast, even though work fucked me and got a new stupid fucking filter on the internet browser.
Yeah.
So now I can't go to Muse on Minis. I can't go to Chain Attack. And this is on my tablet, so I can actually listen to podcasts while I do my monotonous work. But I can still go to Bartertown. So
who runs Bartertown?
Obviously, I do because I'm there enough to be a fucking admin for it.
You're an admin on Bartertown?
No, I'm not. Oh, but
he's there
be.
Enough that he should be.
Yeah. So yeah, it really irks me off. So now I have to download my episodes before I go to work so I can listen to it while I'm at work. It really pisses me off.
I don't listen to Muse because I don't have time. I'm too bored. I'm just so bored. I fall asleep.
I don't listen to podcasts.
Yeah, I listen to podcasts. I mean, podcasts are so fucking boring.
I need to listen to some... Is it Chain Attack that Trevor and Jay are on?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I need to listen to some Chain Attack because Trevor wanted me to participate.
I think they charge you to listen to them. I don't know.
I don't know.
There's like a fee to like put them in your ears.
I like most of the guys on Muse. I should listen to their podcast.
I listen to Clockwork
Box. There's only the one guy, but he's a shithead, so obviously.
Who?
You know the one.
Oh, that one.
Yeah.
Okay.
Speaking of people, so Keith lives in Madison now. He's been here for like a month and no one's seen him.
Yeah, it's interesting.
That son of a bitch.
Muse did mention that there would probably be some natural transition over to Crippled System just because the last episode he couldn't make it to because he's been Skyping in.
Yeah.
And then the one before that, the sound quality was shitty. And now I think it might just get to the point where if we just Paisley shirts, maybe he'll come talk to us. Well, then I'd have somebody to partner up and talk about War Machine.
Oh, no, that's unacceptable.
Hey, we'll lose Brian.
We could talk to him about me and Keith talk about Diablo 3 for quite a while.
Yeah, there we go. We can get Keith to talk about other stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah, we don't have to talk about War Machine. We are War Machine adjacent.
Yeah.
You guys could just draft me. You could trade Crump for me.
Hey.
What? You think we can get a Crump for you?
Well, one of them at least. At least the Diet Crump.
Diet Crump.
I was not prepared for that statement. My brain was like, what?
Oh my god. What kind of world do we live in where a Crump got to be at the War Machine weekend fucking finals?
Yeah.
What?
Wasn't Crump last year?
He won Adepticon last year. Not Adepticon, he won Daikon.
Wow, come on. A monkey could win Daikon.
Yes. Wow, we're just like lobbing bombs everywhere here. Out of control. I don't know where to go with that one. I'm afraid to say words right now.
Well, aren't you supposed to be mean to Crump? Isn't he there, Jeremy? Like, the thing I said to Keith, I've said this to multiple Muse guys, and every one of them laughed for like a fucking hour, was I said that the thing with Jeremy was that he thought he was our Keith, yeah, when in reality he was our Crump.
Wait, what? I did not know that.
Isn't that a great analogy for Jeremy? He thought he was our Keith, but in reality he was our Crump.
But the thing is, though, we actually truly love Jeremy.
Yeah, the things those guys say about Crump as soon as he walks out of the room. He's still in earshot, but he's out of the room. Yeah,
we truly love Jeremy. I miss him so much.
Crump is amazingly good at Hearthstone. I'm just going to tell you that right now. Do not, if you have to like have any money on the line, don't play Crump at Hearthstone.
He's autistic. He has to be good at Hearthstone.
Yeah, he will rock your world in it.
Well, hopefully we'll be able to get everyone to do for the cluster fuck up loser if we can get that.
Yeah, I'll send out a thing. I think that last year, in some people's mind, it was too much clusterfuck and not enough palooza. So we just have to put a little more control and tell a few people. We just have to, when people want to jump in, we have to breathalyzer them.
Well, no, not even then. Here's an idea, and I'm just spitballing here. We're going completely over recommendations. This is my recommendation. We should have three stations, like Cripple System, Muse on Minis, and then Chain Attack or whoever else it is.
Maybe even four.
But I think we should have volunteers from those, and not where we'll have like six different podcasts all trying to record at the same time. This is not able to do it.
Yeah.
We should have 3 to 4 tops.
It's nice to have more there, but at some point there's a threshold where it gets too unruly. And there's so many podcasts, and there's some good ones out there that I don't listen to, but I hear they're good. But I mean, and they're popular, but I mean, there's just so many, you can't just have 12. Can't just
allow everybody, yeah.
It just gets a little crazy.
We don't want to be too cool kids clubs.
Also, no, we don't want to be a cool, and that's a good point.
I just want to narrow it down.
Even if we almost had, it'd be hard, I don't know how, or if somebody has a good idea how to do it, it's just logistically getting ridiculous.
The number of podcasts involved and the number of recording stations don't have to be the same thing.
Correct.
Is what it is. You know, we can have 4 or 5 setups and have a dozen podcasts that each have 2 people, and we then are totaling 24 people, you know, and that's not, we just can't have 5 people each from a dozen podcasts at a dozen recording stations.
Correct. Like last year was just a couple too many.
Yeah, there's no reason we get to say Crippled System. Now if the 4 get published, it's you know, here are the 4 podcasts recording with the 12 podcasts.
You know, members of X and X and X and X.
Yeah, a lot of the topics also seem to kind of overlap, and so when you listen to one like rotation in, you're kind of getting the same like general discussion going on, and that's interesting to get all these different perspectives. But it might be something else to look into, maybe having like a massive like flashcard or like the round 3 ladies, where you like maybe give a topic out for a switch.
Yeah,
I don't know they can be whatever. It doesn't have to be War Machine related, because who wants to talk about that? But
on the other hand, then we don't get the thing like we had the first year where you would leave one podcast, go to the next one, you'd sit down and you'd go, "What are you talking about?" And they'd say transsexual pornography.
Yeah,
you'd
I guess
we're talking about now.
Then watch Chad just get real quiet and scared. I love Chad. Did not
want to talk about transsexual pornography.
Chad is the best person in the world because he's so serious and sincere and has good points of views and is a good person, and you just can just unload on him with awful things, and
but sometimes he fucks you over and uses up your death clock time to win a game.
Also,
Chad,
speaking of the cool kids clubs and all the other podcasts out there, I am an equal opportunity listener. Unless you talk about fancy beer, then I'm just going to feed you MGD until you throw up. I might put the headphones around my ass while you talk and then just still buy you MGD anyways.
Who? What?
I hope the beer machine guys are at War Machine weekend, so I can just...
That was what you were saying?
Yep, just buy them. No, I've been trolling their Facebook with every single thing they post. I respond with MGD because they just, like, dug the knife in during 2 podcasts into MGD. And I'm really, really hoping that they can make the trip from Buffalo to St. Louis and I can just do nothing but buy them MGD on top.
Andy, give that man an address.
So Bryn, Bryn is from Canada.
If you're scared of bombs, you can give him my address. You know
Bryn from Canada? He plays Hell Heroes, and he's also evidently he's also good at War Machine. Like
because
he's also in like he's in the I guess he was in the Invitational last year and he qualified again this year. Like I just thought he was a cool guy from Canada who played some War Machine. I didn't realize he was like a good War Machine player because there's not many up there. But he was one of the good ones. And I'm very excited to actually meet him in person because I've been gaming with him for like the last year in Heroes. And
then, I need to start cultivating Canadian friends because, you know, I might flee the country.
Yeah.
At least for that whiskey that they have.
Their maple syrup.
So some people were asking in the chat here, too, like where Jeremy was.
Katie can't make it, which means Jeremy doesn't get to.
Yeah, so where is Jeremy's anyway? Somebody had mentioned dead. Tal Beast had said that it was on a Katie mandated break,
basically,
which is true. And then Fuker 40 had mentioned this. From what I've gathered, he's at home being kenneled while Katie works, and she works all the time.
Yeah,
she's fine. Her work schedule is actually getting less crazy right now as a Katie update, but she just literally has no motivation at all to do anything War Machine related.
I do love the little anecdote. Not to go too much into personal life or whatever, but. She was stranded without a car for like a day in a random Illinois rest stop because her car was stolen by the government. And she came home afterwards and was like, that was less stressful than work.
Yeah.
that's a sign from the heavens.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yep.
That is some good stuff.
It sounds like things are getting better at least.
Yeah. What makes it, he will be on the, Jeremy will be here for the Dresden podcast. I mean, he wants to do that. He's just, they're going out of town for a wedding for four or five days. They're going out of state to visit family for 4 or 5 days. I mean, Katie keeps him very busy. He doesn't have much time to. And then when he has those few hours, he still wants to do this. I mean, when he only has like one night free a week, he kind of wants to sit home and play video games.
Or set up like going to actually play board games as well. Yeah. That seems to be the key.
Yeah, I haven't board game with Katie like more than like once this year, and I usually hang, I'm always doing stuff with those guys.
Yeah.
My recommendation is to rent Until Dawn. I super enjoyed it, but I think 90% of people will only play it once. Maybe twice. You don't need to own it for the rest of your life for $60.
I think it might have a 3-playthrough top out.
But a weekend rental, like, you know.
You play it 3 full times through, and then you're going to go into the various chapters to get random achievements to go on. But
If you're an achievement whore, you will have to spend 200 hours because you have to replay 50 different combinations of every chapter to unlock everything. So if you're an achievement whore, you should buy it. But if you just want the plot, I think you're only going to play it 2 or 3 times.
Yeah, I mean, I would say you're probably looking at 20-ish hours.
Yeah,
it's about 10 hours of playthrough, I think, 10 to 12 hours, depending on how fast you react and based on how fast. I mean, you could be.
I can tear through some chapters in 20 minutes now. You know that I know. Like if I'm like I need to do one change in chapter 5 to see what happens in chapter 9. Yeah. Chapters 6, 7, and 8 are going to take me an hour total.
Yeah,
because I'm just going to beeline and I already know what things I'm.
Chapters 2 and 3 still take a while, no matter what. Like, yes. You really those are the.
And Chris is just fumbling around in the dark. It's like, oh my God, just get to the bathroom, you shithead.
I just run to the bathroom now and I don't pick up a clue.
Yeah.
So, and that was Until Dawn.
Yeah. And I recommend that game twice already. So.
Yeah, it's a great game. Everybody should play it. I just think unless you know for sure you're the kind of person who's going to play to get every achievement and every possible character thing, most people, I think, could rent it.
It just seems the game is so interesting and it's a unique design. And I'm not a person who watches games. I play them, but I got it for Amanda for her birthday and she played it for the entire weekend straight. And all I did was sit there and watch it. It was so entertaining to just watch.
Raylene bought it. I got home. She had played just the prelude, which is like a 10-minute little mini chapter. So basically, she'd played nothing. She marathoned the entire thing in one sitting, and I watched the whole thing. And then the next day, I marathoned the entire thing in one sitting. Like, it is definitely an experience.
Yeah. As Brian was playing, I was watching it at work, and it was actually just interesting to watch. I mean, there isn't that much like little quick time events that doesn't really interfere. It feels like you're watching a movie or a television show.
Yeah, they got great voice actors. The graphics look really good for most of the characters. Look really, I mean, look just like the people, and it's. Just,
and I like
the writing's good too.
A lot of quick time event games fuck you over. Like they'll say this or this, and you go, I don't know that, and they go, no, that was the wrong choice.
Yeah.
So you die, and I had there was one thing that I thought was kind of bullshit coin flippy, because I saw Raylene do it, and she chose one. She chose, there's a character that's being chased, and it's like, do you go left or right? And well, that's a, literally a random guess. And she guessed right, and it was the wrong choice. And so when I played through, I went left, and it was the right choice. And I'm like, that's kind of bullshitty. And then I played through it again, and I paused, because it's like a timed one. Like, you have 10 seconds to make a choice, maybe only 5 seconds. And I stopped, and I looked, and actually, like, really faintly, half faded on a sign hanging over in the corner, you can see a thing that says exit to the left.
Yeah,
it's like, so it wasn't bullshit. You just had to calm down for a second and look, you know. Or like my playthrough, I got half the people killed through two choices, and after those choices, and it's like somebody died. Like I had somebody. Fuck, I'll just use names. Fuck it, spoilers. When Matt finds Jess in the mines, and then a Wendigo shows up, and it's like, run or hide.
Yep.
And I've watched horror movies. You don't hide. Hiding never works. By the way, don't be scared to hide in Until Dawn. If you, it'll give you an extra quick time event to successfully hide, but it's not instant death. But I chose run because hiding's for suckers. And of course, he's a fucking star athlete and he gets away. Well, the crippled woman who just fell down a mine shaft, she's not ready to run. So she's minus a head. And if I'd stopped and thought about it, I would have realized that she's limping and fucked over and she can't possibly run.
Yeah.
So the game's fair.
Well, and I share the one video on Facebook with chapter 5 where the girl's being chased on a towel, and there's, you know, there's combinations where there's times where you need to run, need to hide. And my first time through, I did it. I mean, because I got like a little thing, you did like the 20 choices correctly. I'm like, well, I watched enough horror movies that I knew when it was the time to hide. Yes. When it was time to run, you know. It was like, okay, this is a hide moment, this is a run moment, this is a dodge moment, this is a,
he's 3 feet behind me, do I hide or run?
Yeah.
You know,
exactly, you know. I mean, this is, yeah.
So does it change, is it only scripted throughout the whole thing based on your decisions, or is it something that's that has a moment of where it changes?
Every character has a point where their plot armor runs out.
Okay.
Like, you could, and yeah, and I think that, I don't think any clues you find, I know there's one character living or dying, there is at least one clue that flat out determines whether they live or die.
Correct.
Okay. But I think it's literally only one of the like 50 clues that you can gather. The rest is just to find out more backstory.
There's definitely that situation. Then other characters, based on what they find and based on their decisions, like one guy, you get a flare gun.
Yeah.
And if the person gives it to the other person based on their decisions, the person will keep it or get rid of it. And if they keep it, that only matters if later on they get separated in a certain way, and then he'll use that, you know, he'll use a flare gun.
Yeah. Sure.
So there's a lot of those things, you know, it may not matter at all. But so there's lots of little subtle things where if you do this, this may or may not matter. And there's lots of little callbacks to those kind of things. But I mean, the main plot stays the same. Like, you get to the cabin, these two people are going to go this one, you know, this group is going to separate this one way, and this group's going to separate this one way. They may have some arguments, or they may separate differently, but no matter what happens, you're going to have this breakup of groups.
Okay.
Yeah, and but then, like the Walking Dead Telltale games, for example, no matter what you do in the Telltale Walking Dead games, you're going to come to, there's going to be these specific characters at a climax.
Yeah. Sure.
Like, there might be momentary offshoots, but in this, you can get, like I said, some characters, it's like chapter 3, and some characters, maybe it's 4.
Four, I don't know. Four. Is when the death
comes. Some characters, it's as early as chapter 4. Some characters will be at the last 30 seconds of the game, no matter what you do. But from character to character, shit's different.
So, okay, so it's not different in the sense, like, what I was thinking of is like Clock Tower. Clock Tower 2 was a big horror thing where big guy with a giant pair of scissors chased you around. And in that game, each time you played through it, like if you hid inside the bathroom stall, he might just walk past you.
Yeah.
No. Or in this next playthrough, you going through at the same time, he comes into the stall and kills you.
There's no randomization about that. No.
Okay.
If you play the same way every time, the game is the same every time.
Okay.
It only changes if you change it.
If you make some changes.
Yeah. But there's some stuff like the part we were just talking about with the girl running or hiding. If you choose wrong in that, she gets caught. She doesn't get killed because she still has plot armor at this point, but she does get caught. If you play it correctly, she doesn't get caught, and so you get to play with her more and discover more stuff and everything like that.
Sure.
Yeah,
sure.
So there are still things that can change, but there is no randomness. It's all very determined.
Okay.
You can... Yeah.
And the dialogue dramatically changes based on the clues you find, because when I was redoing chapters to find all the items, I would just run through some chapters I would ignore because I knew I only knew like one thing, or I figured out, like, you know, I just I've learned yeah, something.
You missed one thing. You're playing the chapter literally just to run and grab this clue and go, great, I never need to play this chapter.
And then you get this dialogue, and it's just so ridiculously different based on the first time because like no one has an idea what's going on, so they just kind of keep going. Or if one person dies at a different time, the whole dialogue changes. And there's people. I haven't done the kill everyone. I wanted to do a playthrough where I killed everyone and streamed it.
Raylene beat you to that naturally. Yeah. Her first marathon playthrough, every character
the
died.
Problem was that weekend I ended up watching all of Fargo and all of iRobot, so I spent 20 hours I wasn't planning on to watching TV shows.
Yeah, fair enough.
So that took out 20 hours of video games.
Fool.
Until Dawn.
We're the Until Dawn podcast.
I thought I had heard through the grapevine that they're already like pretty solid on making a solid decision that they made to make a sequel.
Possibly. I mean, it was such a good. I mean, it wasn't revolutionary by any means, but it was just such a good horror game / movie.
It was so well executed. Yeah. Like even being just a PlayStation exclusive release, like for them to even think about or consider making a sequel to it, it's an amazing thing. Just good testament to how well the game is.
Yeah.
How well the game's
PlayStation
made.
Exclusive games are usually seemingly really good.
Well,
like all the Nathan Drake games, I mean, those are fucking
In the PlayStation 4 era, definitely. In the PlayStation 3, it's a little wishy-washy.
Really?
Things were a little weird back then, in my opinion. I think the Xbox exclusives kind of really, they vaulted over the PlayStation in that point.
Even if you don't give a flying fuck about Halo?
What
else do they have?
Probably not then. I don't know.
I mean, the only one that's really so far that I can think of that's really placed or Xbox exclusive was
Gears of War, wasn't it?
Gears of War, yes.
Started out.
And that's actually not that bad of a game either.
A less colorful whack-a-mole simulator.
Yeah. well, what was it? It was the one with the giant robots.
Yeah, a Steel Battalion with the 200. Well, that's my Xbox exclusive, but that wasn't even 360. That was the original Xbox Steel Battalion that had like the 200.
We missed
button
a phrasing thing.
Joysticks.
I'm sorry. I don't know what we did. It was phrasing, but
I don't know. I don't care about Halo.
But it was
the ending of Halo Reach is one of my favorite artistic moments in video games. I've sucked its metaphorical dick before publicly, so I'll say that. But apart from that, I don't give a shit about Halo. Oh, and Red versus Blue is amazing.
I guess maybe my point was more of a commentary on the console war state at that point in time because the Xbox won that console.
Well, and PS4 right now is just right.
Yeah,
what
now
the
it's
fuck
above.
Is that game? It's pissing me off now. It came out last fall or last spring.
Oh, Titanfall.
Titanfall. That's
yeah. That game nobody
actually,
plays Titanfall.
No, that game got... I mean, it was fun for a little bit, man. That game... I was just reading an article recently about how that game was such a disappointment to so many people because it had terrible matchmaking.
Yeah.
And there was just... I had so many bad things, but it was neat, but they did so bad falling through.
Everyone who played it would have strangled a puppy for a single-player mode.
Yep.
Like, I didn't know.
You couldn't group very well. There wasn't like good server choices. Like Star Wars Battlefront's coming out, and because I'm playing Planetside, I'm kind of in this like clan where everyone, they're always jumping into the next first person shooter, so they've been paying attention to that game really closely. But like even that game, I'm already reading about some of the stuff that's coming out that's gonna make that game really unfun because they're taking away all these cool features that people are used to in gaming. Like you can't have platoons, you can't like pick servers. Like if you're playing the PC, something fun about the PC is you play on certain servers, you play with certain people. You can't do any of that kind of crap. So
right.
It's amazing with some of these games that they just take away features and they think people are going to kind of play it for the name.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, it looks beautiful.
It does look neat, but yeah, I've been reading more and more awful things about it, sadly.
All right.
Who has recommendations?
Yeah. We
tangented there.
I'm good on just recommending everyone should watch Rick and Morty. We've already probably recommended before. We should watch more of season two of Rick and Morty. Go to Cartoon Network and watch it.
If you have not watched Rick and Morty yet, and you're like, fine, that was the breaking point. You're going to watch the pilot. The pilot is good. I think the pilot is the worst episode of Rick and Morty ever, which is oft times true. Pilots, even good pilots, are usually the weakest episodes of a show.
Sometimes the first season is the worst.
Sometimes. Too. But if you watch the pilot, you're like, I mean, the pilot's a good episode. I still like it. But if you watch the pilot and you're kind of underwhelmed, you're like, this was okay, but not great. You skip to Meeseeks and Destroy. And then if you don't like Meeseeks and Destroy, don't watch the show and also don't ever talk to me again. But if you don't like that episode of Rick and Morty, there's something wrong with you.
Yeah, it's such a good episode. And I also slightly recommend
watching
since I was watching Rick and Morty on Hulu, noticed that Aqua Teen Hunger Force is also on Hulu. So I started watching through the seasons again. I'm going to try to make it all the way through the entire series.
Do you have Hulu Plus with no commercials? Because I have the Hulu no commercials now. It's amazing.
fuck you.
No, there's literally for $11. It's no commercials.
I don't care.
But... Oh fuck! I had a recommendation that I forgot from last week, and I'm gonna say it right now. And you mentioned Hulu said it. The City of Lost Children is an amazing fucking movie, and it's on Hulu now. And you should watch City of Lost Children.
Is it with the clocks?
No, that's Dark City.
With Bill Murray. Is Bill Murray in the children?
No, City of Lost Children is like a French film. Oh. There's this scientist that kidnaps children and steals their dreams. That's where Blue is the Warmest Color.
Oh, yeah. Is that where...
Blue is the Warmest Color.
Is that where humans can't no longer have babies anymore and then they have a baby?
Sure. It's where Bill Murray has some lesbians in a clock and that's why humans can't have children anymore.
Okay. But it's all filmed in like one long take.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yep. The children, the lesbians, it's all one take. It's great. And then Bill Murray pops up and says, Xanadu.
He's in a movie with like a similar name. That's all I'm saying. I'm not completely out there in that.
I was trying to let Andy finish what he was saying. Sorry. I don't even remember what you were saying.
I was saying check out. I'm trying to marathon the Aqua Teen Hunger Force. We stopped around season 4 or 5 of it, and I'm gonna try to make it through the rest of them, like up to season 11.
Once
I got the hand banana is really the time that I said we're done with this show.
Let's make and receive cellular phone calls with Boost Mobile is one of my favorite episodes of anything ever.
Yes,
but somebody brought up Aqua Teen in something awful thread, and they mentioned the name change. And somebody in it was like, holy shit, that show is still on? And it turned out that when they did the name change, his DVR stopped recording it, so he just thought it had been canceled. So for the last several years, he just didn't know that there was still Aqua Teen.
See, I remember stopping when the show had a quality drop, and it's okay not to keep watching. Like, when a show gets bad, you don't have to keep watching it.
But it's worth it years later to find out whether it was a drop or a dip.
And sometimes it is a dip. And it does get really good again.
I'm trying to find out if it was a dip or not. Because that season, it did have probably one of my favorite episodes ever, is where Carl has the antenna put into his yard by the aliens. Which had hand banana, but that antenna episode existed.
Yep.
Tilt your head back. So good. All right.
Have Bill Murray and lesbians?
No, it did not.
Okay.
Bill Murray.
It didn't have
children. I recommend Bill Murray.
I do too.
Jesus Christ.
You know what? If you were more Grumble. Like anyone. What? I'm just saying everyone should be more like Bill Murray and the world would be a better place.
I recommend we go back in time and give Bill Murray a fucking Oscar for Lost in Translation instead of giving it to Sean Penn, that wife-beating pile of fucking turds, for just emoting over the top in Mystic River. Anybody can shout loudly. That wasn't acting. That was fucking terrible. Am I right?
Yes,
I'm right. Mystic River did not. It Lost was a great movie. Lost Translation
is good.
Yeah. Bill Murray was great in Lost in Translation. Mystic River was a good movie, but all Sean Penn did was go, my daughter! And that's not Oscar worthy. No. It was fucking terrible. And then we also need to give Michael Keaton a fucking Oscar, because watching him put his speech away before he started to clap for that guy that played Stephen Hawking was the most depressing thing I've seen in the last 2 years. And then we need to figure out a way to give 17 Oscars to Gary Oldman.
What? The Michael Keaton thing?
Last year, when what's-his-shit McBritish accent won for the... What's the movie about...
Oh, instead of Birdman, Yeah.
Keaton didn't remember. So they announced that guy's voice because he's a British actor playing somebody with a disability. So, of course, they're going to throw Oscars with him. The only more surefire way to get an Oscar is to be gay, like, or play a gay person like he got for Milk. I mean, whatever. So they throw the Oscar to him and they're like, you win. And then the camera pans to him and like 2 rows behind him, you see Michael Keaton fold up and put away his speech before he starts to applaud for him. And it's the most heartbreaking goddamn thing.
Yeah, he deserves. As much as I still have problems with that movie a little bit, it's still an amazing performance.
Yes. That's why I have problems with it, is that movie is amazing, and I don't think I like it. But it hurts to say that because it's directed amazingly, every performance is amazing.
The cinematography is amazing, the music's amazing.
Everything about it is fucking amazing, but I don't like it. And so,
like, yeah, I'm with you there. I don't like it.
And you don't know why you don't like it, because you can't point at something, because everything you point at was amazing. But you can point at it should have ended 5 minutes sooner. That's the easy thing.
Yeah.
But even if it had ended
Or had a more defined ending as well.
If it had ended, bang, credits, even then, I think I would have liked it a lot better, but I think I still... I think it is amazing, yeah. But it knows it's amazing, and that annoys me. Like, I think it's passively pretentious, because I'm like, okay, movie, you're good, but you know you're good, and that annoys me.
Yeah.
So it has an ego.
So the Always Sunny episode called Charlie's Work was filmed the same way as that episode.
Yeah.
And they said it was filmed, and they didn't see that movie, so it wasn't inspired. But the episode of Charlie plays the same kind of drum music the entire episode, so I swear to God they must have at least added in the same kind of musical beat to it. Because it's the exact same fucking beat as Birdman. And if you haven't seen the episode of Always Sunny, you're not really alive.
Yeah.
I find it funny that we're talking about two movies in the same last 20 minutes here that are filmed in like a one shot, like Children of Men,
yeah,
and Birdman. God, I love Children of Men. I need to watch that again. That was such an awesome surprise when you made us go watch that,
yeah,
without knowing what the movie was about.
That's a good movie.
And then Nick thought it was some kind of porno.
Well, I still go see Child of Men. People are like, what's it about? I'm like, it's about child porn. And everyone got in the car except for Nick. And it was not about child porn, obviously. But I'm just like, I heard it was good, and it's got Clive Owen. And I told you, that was all I needed to know. Clive Owen. And had a good director. Like, it was like, I'm sold.
Have you seen that?
No.
Oh.
It's really good. Have you watched Housebound yet?
No.
You son of a bitch, you have to watch Housebound?
I'm sorry, I got caught up. Like, Heroes Reborn is coming down the pipeline, so I never watched the original Heroes series, so I'm watching that.
I have a friend.
Wait, how many seasons in are you?
Two or three now.
Stop.
You stop.
Yeah, you've already gone too far. Yeah,
gone too far.
Yeah.
I don't mind it. It's pretty decent. Pretty legit.
First season's actually pretty awesome.
Yeah.
Second season is kind of...
I'm starting to feel the whole, like, they're overdoing the we're connected part too much.
Yeah.
Don't worry,
it
gets worse.
They really don't know what they're doing. Like, it's obvious that, like, the longer that show goes on, you're like, oh, they are scrambling. Like, they're just throwing shit at the wall and nothing.
Well, they broke, they went from the original idea, which was their whole problem.
Yeah.
I love that shows are doing this now, like... that FX show, the American Horror Story yeah. does that. It's like one season is a different, and even more shows are doing that. They were trying to do that, and back they just had didn't have the balls to follow through. Like if it would have become today, they probably would have done it, since that's a thing that's proven to be successful now.
Yeah. Well, at least the Heroes Reborn is supposed to be a true mini series, not so much just like a 20 episode season. I think it's four hour long episodes.
I have a friend who hates the original Heroes series with a passion almost that I have of Mass Effect, and I keep giving him crap
probably for the same reason.
Well, but yeah, I mean, because
it starts so good.
Yeah, and I've been asking, I keep talking. I'm like, what if all the reviews are amazing? Like, I don't care anything. He's like, no matter what happens, once the Heroes are born, he won't wait. He assumes it'll be some kind of trap. Like the first episode could be amazing, and it'll just turn into what it's going to be.
Yeah, if you only watch the first season of Heroes, it's amazing.
Although I will admit, when the season was over, the season finale, when it happened, I'm like, they didn't know how to close the story. I'm a little concerned about the show. Like I felt at the end of the last episode.
Yep.
I mean, they tried to have things connect, but they just didn't. I mean, I thought they made an effort, which points for trying, but it felt convoluted, and I was like, man, that's not a good sign. And then season two on, it just got off the rails.
Yeah, everybody in chat is telling you to stop.
Yeah, just stop. As well.
Yeah. The final season is a couple good actors join the show, but it doesn't help.
All right, we should probably call it quits here, unless somebody's got another
question. I'll throw out one thing for that guy. I didn't mean to say Ghostbusters. Before the show started, we were all agreeing that R.I.P.D. is the third best Men in Black film.
Oh, yeah.
When I came in and started talking about Men in Black, I was like, R.I.P.D. is like... the third best Men in Black film.
It would be the best Men in Black film if the show didn't move so quick, or the movie didn't move so quickly. I felt like I didn't have a moment to catch my breath or explore the characters a little more. And Billy Goating is the most amazing thing in the world.
Yeah, surprisingly good movie.
I'm going to recommend iRobot TV show that was on FX. It's really good. I just want to throw
is it
that
Robot
down.
Man?
It's iRobot.
Is that iRobot? No.
I think don't know if this is still true or not, but somebody on my Facebook feed, I think, recently said that iRobot broke some record or made history, whatever you would call it, because every episode of it on Rotten Tomatoes is 100%. Not just the show is 100%, but every single episode, every critic has given a positive review to of that show.
Yeah, I've seen that too. It's something. It's on Hulu, right?
It's on. Where did I watch it?
Is it Mr. Robot? Not iRobot.
It's Mr. Robot.
Mr. Robot. Yeah,
I was just being dumb. It's Mr. Robot.
Yeah. He's the dude who's in that is from
Until
Dawn.
It's Josh. Yeah, it's Josh.
Yeah, it's Josh.
Brother. Yeah. It's a really good movie. He's a main actor, and he plays like a guy who works in a security firm slash like a hacker guy, and it's just an interesting movie. Yeah. And he has like mental problems, so it's kind of like, and this isn't actually completely true or near true. It's kind of like The Matrix meets that one movie with the one guy.
Meets with Stephen Dorff?
No, Stephen Dorff. Fight Club. It's like Fight Club meets the Matrix meets like Dorff. No, meets like Dread Miss Daisy. Put those three movies together, take out sci-fi elements, and you have
Mr. Bill Robot. Murray?
It does not, Sally.
Take the sci-fi elements out of Driving Miss Daisy.
Yeah, what's that?
A car? She actually liked the black guy at the end. Like that was the fiction part of that movie. But other than that, it was... Anyway, sorry about that. That just came out.
as my really quick official recommendation, I would say of all the Muzon Mini templates I've seen, the Crippled System one's non-biased opinion have got to be some of the best-looking templates I've seen. The design on these is just perfect.
Hey, who's got two thumbs and designed those?
That guy. Andy did an amazing job on these. I think they're stylistically interesting and they are functional. I don't see any of the images would make me confused. And right now I carry around my Muzon Mini magenta template to match my Fury templates that I got forever ago, but I think these will officially replace them at a full-time status.
They have a tapered universal 1-inch move here. They used to have the widgets that had different sizes for the different bases, but these have a universal 1-inch move on them, which
I don't understand. I didn't understand it. It confused me.
I'll show you after
there's
we're
also
done.
The I don't know how many templates have the size of models.
The official spray templates do.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, the official sprays do, but this is the first time I've seen it on a widget, and it's got enough pieces and things on it to make it not look like that abomination. There you go.
Like center to center, or whatever.
Yeah, you just you nestle it into the V there.
Yeah.
And then you move it to the next V.
Oh.
That's 1-inch.
That's pretty exciting.
Yeah, they had widgets that had different. They had like circles, and so the circles.
Yeah, they were the
sizes
bubble
for
ones.
Each of the base.
Yeah.
But this one's universal. No matter what base you have, you put that up, and then you just move it so that it's into the next one, and that's 1-inch movement.
What a pretty clever. I haven't opened mine yet. I'm going to see this.
Okay.
This looks really nice. Good
job.
Really
nice.
I'm really, really happy with those. And hopefully our zones will be a
first sale. Crippled System tokens are also good.
Those need to, yep. I'm going to work with Nigel to redesign those to match them so they're closer to these.
That'll be good. The one thing I'll say with them, what I'm going to do with mine is I'm going to glue like the furniture pad felt on the back of them.
Mm-hmm.
Because the only bad thing about them as they currently are is that if you have them upside down and mark on the engraved side, that is bad.
Yeah, then your marker would stay in that.
I had to put mine through the dishwasher.
Yeah,
but you can't get it out of there because that's not a dry erase surface inside there. That's just
etched rough.
Yeah, it's plastic. The etched rough plastic. So you have to be very careful that you're marking on the correct side, which is easy because it says Crippled System. So if you're able to read and you are able to read it,
and you don't
you're on the correct side.
Yeah,
like
if you just
hit the wrong one. Yeah, you already said to hell with our viewers, so you don't care.
Well, because I'm trying to save you, man. I care more about you than them.
Thank you. All right. These are good.
Except
buy
for
these.
Bryn. I think he's pretty cool.
He's Canadian.
He doesn't count. All right, we're done.
We're done.
Bye-bye.
Good night.